It's The Huddle, powered in part by Reuben James. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Located on Main Street in Burlington. And by Stacey Adamski with Adamski Law. Charging no fees unless she wins for you. Now, it's The Huddle on 101.3 The Game. At 1013thegame.com. And streaming worldwide on the 101.3 The Game app.
Good afternoon, you're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game, not all accounted for. Brady's here, Artie's here. How you doing, big boy? No handsome today.
I am so confused today. Yes. My brain feels like absolute mush.
Why is that? Tough morning already?
So far today,
yeah.
Usually we have no interns. You're always asking about, okay, what interns to thank? No interns usually. Today we had three, so I have three interns.
Where are they?
Well, they're all gone now.
Gosh. So
I had to send them home. I was too busy.
No, you got to keep them around until 6.
So three interns. I had too many interns that I knew what to do with. I had to occupy them, teach them things, have things for them to do. I taped two episodes of the Brady and the Bunch podcast back to back. That took me an hour and a half. And then all of a sudden, I think to myself, okay, I'm already set to do the show. Finally, the show is planned. We've talked. We've communicated all that. I realize, Andrew and Richmond's coming in at 4 o'clock to co-host the show. And then Vince shows up at the front door. He's like, I'm here to co-host the show. I go, Vince.
You forgot Vince was coming today.
I thought, Vince, you were coming tomorrow. He goes, no, I'm coming Thursday. So here's Vince in the 3 to 4 o'clock hour.
Hey, welcome, Vince. How you doing, big boy?
Great, guys. Thanks for letting me come.
Why do you hate baseball? Right off the bat.
First of all, I want to know, why are you scared of the microphone? Get near the microphone. Don't be afraid. No. The microphone is your friend, all right?
Why do you hate baseball and why do you hate Rich? All of the above.
Whoa,
go.
Hate's a strong word.
That's okay. We use strong words on the show.
I like picking on Rich just because he's such a Patriots fan and such a homer in all the sports that he likes. Understandably so, but it's so easy. I mean, easy target. He reacts the way he does.
Why do you hate baseball? That's where you get me going.
Yeah.
Baseball, I feel it's past its time. It's had its day. It's the dodo bird of sports.
So you can't play it anymore? Just because you don't like it doesn't mean we can't enjoy it.
That's exactly it. My boys are young, and I let them play baseball from the very beginning. I wasn't against it. I keep my opinions to myself with them.
Good. But keep them to yourself with me.
Jeez. You sound a little nervous there, Vince. Lighten up a little bit. Hey. Don't worry. Your texts come in a lot meaner than when you're on the show. Well,
just that the bar is set so high with Rich being the one I'm replacing. You know, I just have to try to attain that.
The bar's not that high. Relax.
Between your wife and Rams fan Ralph, that's where the bar gets set.
Yes, it was set a long time ago. So don't worry about hitting that bar. It's not going to happen.
How was trivia last night?
Trivia was good. A great crowd. I think we had like 13, 14 teams. One thing that bothered me, though, there was a group of four young guys that were listening to the show that came out for trivia for the first time.
Oh, nice.
I would say they're in the 25 to 30 range.
Okay, so they're friends with me?
Young athletic guys. No, they're not friends with any of us. This is like they just listened to the show.
Okay.
And they wanted to come out to trivia. They're four buddies. I don't know if they didn't get the sports questions right that much, but my wife goes, I bet you that guy plays hockey. One of them won a prize, came up, picked up a prize, and went back to his thing. I go, how would you know if he plays hockey? He goes, he has a hockey butt. I go, what are you looking at his butt for? That's what I don't understand.
Wow.
What are you looking at his butt for? Is he walking up and down to pick up his prize? What are you doing for crying out loud?
Your wife does not represent the station.
She does not work here.
Checking out the 25-year-old hockey players?
No, she just said, well, I just noticed it. I go, I don't notice stuff like that on women.
Vince, does it surprise you after hearing that Arnie's wife was running off with skiers 20 years ago, 25 years ago?
After what she went through on the wedding game, she can do what she wants.
Did you watch that whole thing?
Game. No, I just heard it. I haven't watched it.
Oh, my God. I haven't watched it yet. What is wrong with you?
I just forgot about it. That's all. But, man, like I said, after the grilling she went through, all the little audio bits you guys played, she can do what she wants.
I'm like, how do you know? What are you looking at his butt for? And then, of course, he came back up again and she asked him if he played hockey.
I thought your wife didn't want to go. Did she get her car fixed yesterday?
We have a blown head gasket or something like that. A blown gasket.
And what does that cost you? Like $2,000-$3,000?
Millions. Yeah. Millions. So it's not going to be ready for like a month, too. No, it's going to be like another week or something. So you're lucky I'm going on vacation next week, but when I get back, I'm going to need the 101.3 car again because I don't.
That's not going to be allowed. We're going to have trivia next Wednesday, so you're not going to be allowed.
I'm going to be without a car for a long, long time. I mean, it's unbelievable. Every one of my cars is just going down. I need a new car. I really got to do something about that. My wife just wrote in and said he was right in front of me with his butt right in front of me. I don't know how that's possible if you're sitting at the table eating and your back was to him unless you turned around real quickly. I don't understand how
that's a lack of focus on the job right
there. There you go.
She's not working. She didn't
doing anything.
She didn't even have to go.
How was cult camp? That's what I want to know. How was cult camp? You went yesterday. You look different.
Can I tell a story about Rich first?
You look a little different.
Arnie, if I tell you that there is a cookout, what does that mean to you?
It means that there'll be like a fire with a grill over it and hot dogs and hamburgers.
Okay.
Maybe a steak, maybe a piece of chicken, but mostly hot dogs and hamburgers.
Vince, if I tell you there's a cookout, what does that mean to you?
Well, Arnie included, plus you got to throw in a table full of salads and chips and all sorts of condiments and drinks.
Okay, yeah. So it takes about, you know, between almost 40 minutes to get to where Rich's camp is. So I text him right after the show at 6:05, and I say, hey, Jess and I are going to come. We're leaving in 5 minutes.
Right.
We'll be there around 6:50. And then I throw in, just for fun, don't eat all the food. Ha, ha, ha.
Yes, gotcha.
He responds back to me, there will be no food. There, he goes, there will be no food.
Did you not pay for it or something?
I say, I go, what? He goes, the food is over by 6:30. You're going to be too late. I go, you invited me to a cookout.
Well, let's say you got there at 6:40. They couldn't wait 10 extra minutes to leave an extra couple of burgers and hot dogs for you?
So apparently not. All the food is gone at this point. It's all going to be empty. It's all going to be taken out, eaten.
He knows what time you get out of work.
Yeah.
You're invited to a cookout cleanup.
I go, I would have let you out of here a half hour early just so you could eat the food if I'd known that.
I go, Rich, you invited me to a cookout. The expectation is that there is food at this point. I go, I haven't eaten in hours. Jess has purposely not eaten dinner because of the expectation that she's going to get food. And I go to him. And I go, the expectation is there's dinner provided. That's what a cookout is. I go, if there's no food, then what the hell am I coming for?
I don't even know. I still don't understand why they couldn't wait the extra 10 minutes.
So then.
You know, and by the way, was it hot dogs and hamburgers?
Yes.
Or was it like raccoon and roadkill? I don't know what they're eating out there. I have no idea.
It was hot dogs and burgers.
Jeez, I'm not so sure.
So I get there and I see Rich. And his whole family comes up to me.
Yeah.
And they all heard the story already. They're all laughing. They go, that's our Richie. Never quite sure what to say. Never could say what he means.
That's our Richie that we're going to invite you over for dinner with no dinner. That's our Richie.
So they're basically calling him a troll for saying the wrong thing.
Of course.
And then he acts like he's a hero and gets to cook. Hey, no, don't put them all away yet. We got two more. We got two more here.
And he couldn't do that beforehand, when you texted him at 6 o'clock.
Leave the burgers and hot dogs. So I get there at 6:46.
Right.
He goes to me, hey, welcome. Let's hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. I got him holding the food for you. So I'm now scarfing down a burger and hot dog just because it's the last thing left on the table.
When you pulled up, though, were there like a couple guys with shotguns that said, we don't want your kind here? And then you go, wait, no, we're with Rich. And they said, okay. And then they get on like the walkie-talkie and they say, we got two here for Rich? Is it something like that? Or how exactly does that work?
Vince, what did you expect? Because I have like 12 takeaways from cult camp. What were you expecting cult camp to be?
I envisioned a gated community where you can't see what's going on and you'd be able to have access. You know, you have to know someone to get in.
So I picture people wearing like white bed sheets as clothing.
Like, I don't even want to know where you're going.
No, just like they wear that as clothes. Everybody has like a white...
Like Halloween? Like a ghost?
Yeah, but not over your head, just like around your neck so you can see their face because, you know, they all have to, you know, look the same and just wear white...
I think you're describing
a
very different kind of cult that I don't want to be talking about.
I just figure they...
You're describing the KKK to me.
I'm just talking about where they wear a white robe. And everybody's like, you know, come on, we're going to go sing songs by the campfire. And then they're going to draw, like, devil worshiper signs and stuff like that. You know what I mean? What's that symbol? I don't know the symbol.
Pentagram.
Yeah, pentagram. So they're going to have that on and stuff like that. That's what I pictured.
It is a cult.
Okay, of course. After
3.5 hours, 3 hours of research, it is a cult.
Yeah, of course.
However, I've been recruited.
Wow.
I've been recruited into the cult. And you know what?
Do you want to do something special to get into the cult?
Like you with your fraternity, which is a cult safe thing?
I just don't know what exactly they're going to make you do. Do you have to like rob a bank or something? No, I don't know what you got to do.
I've been recruited to the cult, and frankly, I want in. Frankly, I want in.
Did you have to sign over your firstborn or something?
No, I'd have to sign over my firstborn, but I learned all kinds of rules. They really do not allow you to use your phone.
That's great, though.
That's really true. You really, I took out my phone to take a picture. I put a picture on Facebook. People gave me the dirtiest look ever.
So when God forbid, somebody's having a heart attack, you just scream, ambulance, ambulance, until somebody comes by, or are you allowed to use the phone then?
The best that you can do is... like, just hide your phone. I had to hide behind Rich in order to post the pictures on Facebook that I did last night.
Why did Rich text you when, you know, did he have to hide somebody behind
Rich? He took
a
two-hour bike ride from the camp all the way to downtown Burlington. I go, right. You want to get away from Burlington for vacation, and you just keep riding back.
So he rides by himself back to Burlington when he's in cold camp on vacation at cold camp. I'm not quite understanding when I'm on vacation, I think I'm going to come into work in one of the studios and hang out. I'm not quite understanding this.
So... I find that – I met his sisters, by the way. All of them. His one sister, much funnier than him.
Oh, who isn't much funnier than him?
Yeah.
Much
There's
funnier than him.
Newborns that are funnier than Rich.
She was much funnier.
I got a six-month-year-old that's funnier than Rich.
You really can't have alcohol. That really is – you get kicked out.
Even like cooking sherry or –
well, I don't – okay.
You got to have some wine and beer.
Nope.
What do you mean, no? I'm not quite
alcohol honest. Gets you kicked out.
So they tell you what to drink and what to eat, what you're telling me.
Yes. Okay. They.
It's not a cult.
Not at all.
He's right. At 7 a.m., a bugle goes off.
And not after the first day. I promise you that.
And then you have to go to a dining hall, and then they just make you food and provide it for you.
Some praying for witches and stuff like that. I'm just wondering. I don't know.
This is the one that's the most cultish to me.
Yeah.
That when you leave... when you leave cult camp, everybody gets in their car.
They erase your memory? They blank your memory out or something?
You all get in your car, and everybody has to sing a goodbye chant.
Every time somebody leaves?
No, they all leave at the same time. Like, there's no, like...
like, nobody sang to you as you were leaving.
No.
I didn't know
Everybody in the cult camp, as Jess and I were leaving, they all got up and shook our hands and thanked us for coming. Every single one of them. Like, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming.
So, like, when I give people the finger, that doesn't go over there well.
No, that wouldn't go well.
I figured.
There's no, like, Vince, you're going to leave at 7 a.m. on the day you leave. I'm going to leave at 9. Arnie's going to leave at 10. There's none of that. We're all leaving at the same time, and we all have to sing this kumbaya chant at the end.
What's the same time?
Like, I don't know, 10 a.m.?
Suppose I'm not ready by 10 a.m.
Well, you're going to be ready because you got to sing the goodbye chant.
Wow.
Did you meet a guy named Jim Jones or something? What the heck is going on here?
You know, have you ever
seen... so close to Burlington, a cult like that?
Vince, you have young kids, right? Or relatively young kids.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie Toy Story with these kids?
Actually, yes.
Okay. So, Arnie, did you ever see Toy Story with Shay?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So there's the original Toy Story.
Yes,
now we're at Toy Story 4. But there's the original Toy Story where Woody, the cowboy, and Buzz, they are in the arcade. And you know the giant claw thing
that you come down and pick up
a toy?
Yeah.
Well, one of the toys gets picked out of that thing. That's what I feel like here.
I have been chosen. Farewell, my friends. I go on to a better place.
That's what I feel like.
I'm just wondering what kind of initiation are they going to put you through. I don't know. You ever seen that fraternity where they burn the logo into your skin?
You know, branding, yes. That would be highly illegal, but yes.
No. There's a fraternity, but you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I think it's like Omega something, and they take like a hot thing and they put it into your skin.
That's great. I'm sure you, Keg, and Reza did very similar things.
I didn't know if they were going to do that to you. That said cult camp or something on that. I'm not sure.
They said that I was invited back. They said Jess and I were lovely people.
Did they know who you were?
Yes.
Oh, so they did know who we were.
Okay. And they also acknowledged that there's a cult reputation. So I would say, Arnie thinks it's a cult, and they go, there are some cultish things to it.
I thought Rich said nobody knew who I was out there at the cult camp. I'm not sure about that.
He's complained about you to everybody.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
But again.
I have been chosen. Farewell, my friends. I go on to a better place.
Next year I'm in. I am in the cult.
If you join the cult.
Should I join the cult? 802-655-6672.
I think you should, but if you do join the cult. I don't want to sound morbid. I'm going to take an insurance policy out on you. I'm serious. You know, like when you go to the airport, it costs like a dollar. I'm going to take something out on Brady because you never know what happens in this cult camp. You know what I mean? The next thing you know, Brady's gone. He's missing in the woods, and nobody can find him. Next thing I know, I'm doing the show with a cult leader in Rich. I could cash in on some money on this.
Make
Might
sure
be a good idea.
Make sure you don't drink the purple Kool-Aid. That'll be the first tip I give you.
Stay away from the Kool-Aid.
It was funny because one of the people there even said, I said, you know, my coworkers worry this is a cult. He goes, there's a fine line between between recruiting and brainwash. That was his words of wisdom to me.
That's very scary.
So,
when you sleep, was there like...
Oh, I didn't sleep there.
Oh, cool. Because I was saying, I wonder when they sleep, if they play stuff over and over again for the brainwashing. You know what I mean? Over and over.
Have you ever seen Zoolander?
No.
Oh, have you ever seen Zoolander?
Yeah, with the eyes forced to be wide open and listening to everything.
And he goes, relax, don't do it. Don't go to it. Relax, don't do it. Now, look, it was fun. I enjoyed it. The people were good. Rich's sister's hilarious.
I'm going to lock my doors tonight.
Rich turns into a different person at cult camp.
Really? What is he like at the cult camp?
He's a lot funnier.
I can't be any less funny, so that's okay.
Rich is a lot funnier at cult camp.
Yeah.
A little more gross, some dirty jokes that I didn't need to hear.
Yeah, he does. He's dirty when you're not around.
Yeah,
so we tell each other the dirty jokes when you're not around.
Okay, so there was that. And he very much thought of himself as a leader. He thought, since he's been going there forever, since he's one of the oldest people there, he very thought he was cool. He showed me, and this is this place, and this is this place, and this is where this happens. And he was like the ultimate tour guide, just like I thought he was going to be.
I don't even think I would do a remote from there. I'd be afraid to go.
We wouldn't be
there.
Allowed. His sister said, don't talk about it on the air tomorrow. I don't want anyone to know what it is, where it is.
Yeah, we won't say a word. Yeah.
They probably don't have power out there.
Very, very limited electricity, and you're really not supposed to use it.
Does Rich dress up out there?
No, Rich was wearing the same. He told me he brought two shirts there for the whole week.
Isn't that kind of get a little dirty after a while? I'm just sure.
He then said he was joking about that. But
no, he's not joking about that.
Knowing Rich, I would have believed it.
Did they give you any dessert, marshmallow, campfire?
No, because once the dinner was done, we all had to eat on like folding barbecue tables.
Right.
Once the burgers were done, all the tables had to be folded up. You could not sit anymore at that point.
You had to stand?
There were some
standing only, standing room only. I don't know.
There was that part
on the floor.
That's part of the brainwashing. You had to stand for hours on end.
Do you sleep standing? I'm just kidding. Everybody must stand while you're sleeping. I'm not sure. This is supposed to be fun, right?
So,
I'm just curious. This is the fun part.
I'm in the cult.
Did you play any board games or trivia?
There were a lot of board games. I did not. People were playing shuffleboard. I sent a picture of that on Facebook. Shuffleboard and some kickball or soccer or something.
Why do I feel like I'd be the best basketball player there?
There was a basketball court.
Oh, wow. That's exciting.
And a tennis court. So there actually were some things to do that were athletic. And instead of doing any of that, Rich decided to ride his bike all the way to Burlington.
I just don't understand that.
He said it was a 3.5-hour bike ride. Like, you go on vacation just to go, 3.5 hours in 85-degree weather?
Each way?
No, total.
To the place you're getting away from.
Yeah.
Yes, to a place you're getting away from.
Let me ride my bike, and then I'll ride it back.
Vince, would you go to cult camp?
Boy, I don't know. Sober for that long with that kind of people, it'd be kind of tough.
Ty has a good point. Arnie, you should embrace Brady joining Rich's cult camp. They'll both be gone for a week together. That gives you 3 hours uninterrupted for 5 straight days. That's a good point. That means you would have to take vacation the same time Rich would be this time every week.
That was the other thing that they said, that they don't allow people to get married until the new spouse has come to cult camp to see if they pass the family test.
Wow. No, that seals the deal right there. That seals it.
Stop it.
You have to. Yeah, so
you're kidding.
No, there were people there.
But they have to approve marriages?
Yeah. There was like a girl. Somebody had brought their girlfriend. Another guy had brought, or another girl had brought
and
their
if they
boyfriend.
Give you the thumbs down.
They're out.
Do they throw rocks at you? I'm not quite following.
If they don't approve, you're out. You can't come back to cult camp. And therefore, if you can't come to cult camp, you can't be in the family.
So if you get married, it's either cult camp or marriage.
Correct.
It's either your family
or
cult camp.
If you don't buy into cult camp, if you're just someone, I can't do it, I don't want to, you're required to go without your spouse.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? I think we should do that here at the show. You either have to listen to the show and hang out with me, Rich, and Brady, or bail on your family. I think we should do the same thing here. What do you mean? I don't understand. Like, do they take a vote? Thumbs up, thumbs down?
Does it
come at the end of the day? Like, how long does it? And like, what kind of person do you have to be to get the approval? I'm not quite following.
I don't know because I wasn't there long enough.
There's no doubt. If I brought my wife, there'd be no approval. it'd be thumbs down the whole way. I wouldn't be allowed to get married.
Did you listen when his wife was on Tuesday?
Oh yeah, she's hilarious. She's awesome.
What did you think of that?
I think it was great.
What did you think of that hour?
Phenomenal.
Are you going to top it in the next 40 minutes?
That's my goal, actually.
Yeah.
That's my goal. I got to at least try. One question about the camp. Did you witness any double dipping? Is it a family thing?
I did not witness any double dipping, but that's because all the food was taken away from before I got there.
Joe wants to know, did you meet Rich's Uncle Eddie?
Does Rich have an Uncle Eddie?
No, I think he's kidding around. I think Uncle Eddie is from Family Vacation.
Okay, no.
Uncle Eddie's a drunk guy that lives out in the middle of the Nevada desert that has a metal plate in his head.
No, I did not meet.
I'm sure he has an Uncle Eddie.
I did meet Uncle Eddie. I did meet two, I said his two sisters and some guy that came up.
Two sisters?
Yeah.
He's only told us about one.
No, there's two.
I always mentioned one.
And some guy that came up and told me four times he was Rich's brother, but he's not.
Okay, so he's not Rich's brother?
No.
Are you sure?
No, positive.
And Rich only has one kid, right?
Yes.
But somehow you met two or three of his kids? I'm not sure. How
I didn't meet two or three kids.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Freddie's like, no, I don't think I met three of his
kids. No, there was only one kid.
Oh, they're all his kids.
Cult camp was fun. I am in. And next year I'll get to go. And I was, look, it was a lot of fun.
My wife just says, well, that explains why Rich isn't married yet.
Wow. Rich has been married.
He's been married. And she got the thumbs up?
Yeah, she passed the test.
So wait a minute. If she got the thumbs up and they got divorced, obviously they don't do a good job.
They're screening?
And their screening process. I don't understand that.
Like I said.
Take me to your leader.
That's me. That's me now.
I'm very terrified.
I'm
very scared.
I've been reprogrammed. I want in. The cult is fun.
What if the cult doesn't approve of Taco Bell?
Well, then I can't go.
Oh yeah, there's a problem there.
If I can't go to Taco Bell, then maybe I'll just go on a 3.5-hour bike ride like Rich and go get Taco Bell and eat it outside the cult camp.
And if you're not in the cult, we got to be careful going to our cars and stuff. I don't know, man.
If you're not, well,
yeah,
it's a private area. Everyone who's there is in the cult.
But any of them live among us? I feel like I'm talking about aliens. Do any of these cult people live among us and we just don't know them? They come back as normal people?
Yes, Rich.
Besides Rich, though.
No, no one else is local. Everyone else is from gone. It's from out.
Well, that's good news.
Everyone else is from outer space.
So at least we know the ones we have to watch out for. We have to be careful for.
Oh, take me to your leader.
I had no idea that they had to give you the thumbs up, thumbs down. You kind of threw me for a loop there.
Well, it's like most other family functions. You bring someone to the family function, you have to get, hey, mom, what'd you think? Dad, what'd you think? Oh, we hated her. Okay, we're done. It's a usual thing.
Now, do they do it in front of the spouse? Do they say, you know, you seem like a nice girl, but you just can't marry Rich. We don't like you, and you're going to have to leave now? I mean, is it something like
that? No, I don't think it's quite like that.
Well, I think if you're going to vote thumbs up, thumbs down, I think it should be done in front of the person. Like, you know what, ma'am? You're just so damn rude, and you know you just kind of suck. We don't want you bearing our friend. Sorry.
Best part of the night was hanging out with Rich's sister, her making fun of him. Worst part of the night was Rich not understanding the definition of a cookout. And overall, you know what? It is a cult, but it's a normal cult.
Is there such thing as a normal
cult? Jess and I are going to go through the initiation process, and we're going to get back next year.
Do you have to give blood?
No, I don't have to give blood.
I don't know. You get the thumbs up, thumbs down on marriage, and you got to give blood. I don't know if you have to do that. Do you have to get a tattoo, a pentagram on your hand? I don't know.
Rich already texted me, don't talk too much about cult camp today.
No, absolutely we won't.
But
we won't do that.
It is fun. It's fun and I'm in.
You should check him for an embedded chip, though.
Yeah, I'm totally good. Is there anything in the back of his neck? I'm worried about that. I'm worried about doing the rest of the show with you, to be honest with you. 802-655-6672. Go ahead and text on in, especially if you're in the cult camp and you're listening. I don't think they can, though, right?
Not really allowed to use technology.
Technology is forbidden. Is there a lot of Amish there that are in the cult? No, it's not a lot. Like buggies and horses? No?
No, it's none of that.
Okay, so it's not that bad. All right, I don't know what the hell we're going to do next. I don't know if anything can top that segment. I would like to find out more about cult camp. What is coming up next?
We're going to learn more about Vince. We'll talk about why Vince hates baseball some more. I'm going to get him. I'm going to see if I can get you guys in the cult camp.
No. That's okay. I'm good.
I want to get you in.
I'm good without cult camp.
I'll take the zero.
Yeah, because I could see the part where we all came back. We couldn't find Artie. Yeah. But I'm sure he'll turn up any week now. He'll be here any week. 802-655-6672. We'll get into whatever Brady just said. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Opinion be heard. Call or text in now at 802-655-6672. Or tweet into the show at 101.3 The Game. It's the huddle on Burlington and Plattsburgh's home for sports. 101.3 The Game.
Yes!
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3, the game on this rainy Thursday. I guess it's raining out there pretty bad.
Well, it was humid.
Yeah.
I don't even know what day it is anymore. I thought Vince was coming in Friday. Vince is here on Thursday. You know, Vince is... We're in the break here, and usually, look, Vince can attest to this. We have a 6-page document here talking about our show and what we're planning, and it's all perfectly planned. And I realize
spend all day doing this, Vince. Yes,
I believe it.
Yeah. That I have it planned out as if it's, you know, I have it written out as if Vince is not here today. So Vince is like, what are we talking about next? I'm like, I don't know anymore because I don't even know what day it is.
We don't know. We're just going to fly. I'm into improv anyway, so yeah. I'll do 3 hours of improv. Tell us the mistake of the day, first of all, Brady. Start with that.
Mistake of the day, 802-655-6672. Your mistake of the day, Arnie, is not wanting to be in cult camp.
I don't know if that's a mistake.
You should want to be in it. It's fun. They're very welcoming people.
I'm sure they are.
They're a very welcoming
people.
For a
small donation.
802-655-6672. Thanks to Embroidery Works, Joann's Uniforms in Colchester. Get your team ready for spring. We've already passed that. For summer, we're in that. For fall, that's coming up soon. From Men's League to Little League, they've got your team covered with competitive pricing and super fast turnaround.
Vince, how long have you been listening to the show, by the way? But I know we've been hearing from you for a while. I got to meet you at Trivia last year.
We've met him at some Patriots watch parties, etc.
Right. So you've been around for a while listening to the show.
Yeah, from the very beginning when you guys had it, and before that even.
How much better are we now than then?
You guys take it to another level.
Maybe using like with Rich again. And AJ, is that when you were listening?
Yeah, before that, yes. Since you guys have teamed up as a trio, it's really the events you guys do, the car washing back when the Patriots won the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Did you get your car washed?
No. I'm not a Patriots fan by any stretch of the imagination.
No, it's okay.
I want no part of that. No part of that.
Who are you a fan of?
I'll give you a hint. I was born.
Who are you a fan of?
Outside of the Philadelphia area.
Okay, so you're an Eagles fan.
You got it.
Okay, so.
Was that Eagles, Phillies, Sixers, the whole crew, or what?
You got it.
All right, Flyers.
He can't like the Phillies. He doesn't like baseball.
Oh, that's right.
Well, they're fourth in my pecking order, but yeah.
So what? If they're in the World Series, you'd still hop on and pretend like you're a baseball fan?
I was happy for him, but I didn't buy any gear. I didn't watch a parade live on TV or anything.
So what brought you to Vermont?
Parents, mom.
Okay, yeah. What do you do?
I work at Keurig Dr. Pepper.
Keurig/Dr. Pepper? Where are our free samples?
Yeah, it was the Dr. Pepper. I love Dr. Pepper. What are you talking about?
Are there really 23 flavors in Dr. Pepper?
I don't know much about the soda end. I'm on the coffee.
I don't drink coffee either. So.
And Dr. Pepper's big in Dallas. That's like the drink of choice down there.
Yeah, it's very popular.
Wouldn't it be whiskey or something as a drink of choice?
Well, the headquarters is Dr. Pepper's in Dallas, but they have the Dr. Pepper.
Wasn't there
the
a Dr.
hockey rinks and all that stuff?
Isn't there a Dr. Pepper bowl or the Dr. Pepper
sugar bowl or something?
They do a lot of college advertising. Yes.
I love that stuff. Though.
Like that guy who goes around selling Dr. Peppers on the commercial.
That guy makes me sick.
Vince,
sorry about that.
What do you do for fun? Since you always text in.
Besides bust Brady's hump and Rich's hump.
Besides texting in negative things to us, what do you do
for
fun?
Yeah, but I noticed that Arnie over here is real quick to read them and chuckle as he's doing it. So
yeah, you're just feeding it, Arnie. You're feeding into it.
Feeding into.
If you didn't acknowledge it, Vince would never text in. But he goes, you get a good chuckle at him. So that's why he does it.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to waste a good tweet in there, especially if it's ripping Brady or Rich. I'll read it. Maybe I'll reread it sometimes and pretend I didn't read it the first time and have Brady yell at me. You already read that one. I go, yeah, I know, but I wanted to reread it again. So, no, I do. I like that. I like when Vince said, especially when he said stuff like UVM should go to another conference. Yeah. You know, all the stuff that I bring
up. We can talk about that. It worked well for the hockey team.
Or when Vince says, should they do a sign-and-trade?
Yeah.
Man, that's awesome.
Arnie was right, though.
Sign-and-trades happened all weekend long recently.
They did, but that guy
who said that was obsolete, they don't do it anymore. I know, and the same guy who said they're not going to keep any of the draft picks, and they kept all four. So I don't know. I don't know if I believe anybody. Hey, explain to me. We saw that. What's the new thing about baseball, about the steal? Because I don't even know if I quite understand that. What's going on?
Well, in the Atlantic League, they're testing this ridiculous rule.
Because I heard people talking about this.
Where you can steal first base.
Just steal first base.
Yep. Just like a cult calf, you can steal first base.
I'm not even sure. How do you do something like that? So you come up the bat, let's say it's a one-on-one count, right?
Yeah. So the Atlantic League's doing all kinds of weird things, right? They're limiting defensive shifts. They're three-batter minimum for each pitcher that comes in. They're also talking about robot umpires they have. But the stealing of first base is basically you're at the plate. Any wild pitch that gets away from the catcher, you can take off and try to steal.
What happens if the catcher just drops it?
Well, then you can still go. Then he'll throw to first, and you'll be out, and that'll be it. You'll be caught stealing.
Is that speeding up the game or making it slower in the end? I'm not sure if I like this.
It's more action. I don't know if it's faster or slower. It's just more action. I think that's the goal is more action, therefore more traffic, therefore more opportunities to score if he reaches first base, a quicker out that's not a strikeout if he gets thrown out at first base, more traffic in general. You throw the ball in the right field, now he's going to second. I think that's the motivation, but I mean, I hate it, of course.
I mean, what pitchers, I guess the pitchers that are throwing stuff, curveballs, stuff into the dirt, you know, all kinds of junk, it would hurt them more than anybody else.
At lower levels, if this happened all across baseball in general, at lower level, like, there'd be people on base constantly. I mean, your kids play baseball, ball goes to the backstop all the time. It doesn't matter what it is. That's just pitchers aren't good enough to consistently throw it. Catchers aren't good enough to consistently block it. Ball goes to the backstop all the time. There'd be nothing but foot traffic happening at lower levels. In the major leagues, the amount of wild pitches and pass balls that there are really aren't that high. Like, I mean, of course I hate this because it's a deviation from the norm, but sure, it's interesting, but I hate it.
Look how they're changing the entire game. Desperate to go ahead and get, you know, more people interested in it. Desperate to go ahead and keep it relevant. I mean, they're...
Oh, stop.
Here we go.
By Rog Vitsovich, look at all the rule changes they're doing. Look at everything they're...
Look at the rule changes in other sports.
That's to speed up the game. Even in the NFL, those games go 3+ hours. College football, 3+ hours. We never talk about speeding up.
Too long.
No, but I mean, the... NFL and college football.
We do. Don't we say?
The commissioner never says that we want to speed up the
game. Every year we get in here and we have the conversation. The reviews take too long. Too many stoppages in play.
We may believe that. And maybe the NFL, you know, I'm just talking about the 3-hour game in general. Baseball knows they've got to cut the game shorter, Vince, because at the end, nobody's going to pay attention. You're not even a baseball fan, like you said. And it's starting to get a wider gap between the casual fan and the hardcore fan.
Well, we know certain pitchers in certain games or even umpires, we know ahead of time that the game is going to take longer. Everybody, those that are plugged in know that, right?
Right.
Then you throw in just the nature of the way it's turned into. It's either home run or walk lately. It seems to be that way where there's less chance of a double play. It seems that way.
Look, the problem to me has always been not enough action. Not that it's too slow. Again, I hate these people that say baseball is too slow. It's about not enough action. It's always been not enough action. Most people's problems with sports in general are not that the games are too slow. It's that there's a lack of action. Because even in the NBA goes fast. The last 5 minutes take forever because all we do is foul. Everyone complains about that too, but the game itself ended in 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Right.
So the game ended quick, but the last 5 minutes dragged on and we all complained about it. NCAA basketball, the games go quick. They're shorter. They're only 40-minute games.
We didn't change anything about that, though, the NBA.
But we've added on time because more timeouts here. They took away timeouts in the last 5 minutes of an NBA game last year because they said it was dragging on too long because people were complaining about it.
They took away timeouts because it seems like there's so many reviews. They're like, you know, we got to cut something out. We're making the game, you know, it's becoming so long because of the reviews. But we're not trying to speed up the game. We're not trying to, you know, cut time off the actual play like we are in baseball. CJ brings up a good point. It's not that crazy of a rule. It's like the drop third strike rule just expanded, which is a good point that it is kind of the same thing. But
then get rid of the drop third strike. I'd rather get rid of the drop third strike rule than add in more of it. I'd rather get rid of the drop third strike entirely and just say, if you swing and miss, I don't care if the ball goes to the backstop, you're out.
How many people get on base from a drop third strike during a course of a year?
I don't know.
I wouldn't even say it's double dead. I wouldn't even say five.
Checkmate.
I would say more than that, but it's not a lot.
Yeah, no, it can't be a lot. So
I'm just saying. I'd rather get rid of the drop third strike than add more to it. I still want to see a hitter earn his way on base.
The lack of action is a good point, Brady, because in football, you have the time when you go to the bathroom or get a beverage because you don't want to miss anything.
The actual action in football, there's not that much actual action. You just have built-in stoppages where you can get up, and so it doesn't seem that bad. All of these people that tell me, my favorite thing to do on Sunday is just sit around and watch golf for 14 hours. Well, there's not a lot of action going on there, but people aren't complaining about that.
Yeah, I think that's just people sitting around that are bored.
People will tell me, look, we're in Wimbledon right now. If the final on Saturday morning or Sunday morning for the men is Djokovic and Federer, and it goes 5 hours and 12 minutes, people will say it's a classic. I don't say it's too long. Why? Because there's constant action going on.
Right. But we do say that for baseball. That's why they're so desperate. Not to become relevant again, but they're at the point now that they're going to become the fourth sport, and it's going to be...
It will never stop. The fourth sport is going to go below hockey. Oh, stop.
It could be below soccer, though.
What's the average age of a hockey fan versus a baseball fan?
I would say younger, but there's way more baseball fans than hockey fans.
Is there?
Yes.
I mean, what about soccer? I mean, soccer's more, obviously more, well, I was going to say global, but I'm not even sure about that. But they certainly have a lot of fans out there. I don't know about the ratings for the women's team and compared to, you know, the baseball star game and that, but that's going to be a close run. Soccer's making tremendous gains. I know we've heard this before. I remember when I was a kid and they used to have the bumper stickers that say, play soccer, Brady. And the AY from play and the SO from soccer was AYSO was the name of the organization.
ASO?
Yeah.
Okay.
Youth Soccer Organization. And those bumper stickers were all over the place. I mean, they were really pushing soccer.
I never even played soccer. Not for the red team, the blue team, none of them. I didn't play for any of them.
No, it was they were really trying to push it.
Yeah, from the late 70s to early 80s, it's been here comes soccer, comes soccer, and we're still kind of waiting.
Well, Matt Mooresville said, you leave hockey alone, Brady.
I said, look, I like hockey fine, just not as much as baseball.
802-655-6672, Dallas Cowboys are the best. Your special guest is great, but he has to hate the Eagles. He has to go because, you're an Eagle fan, I guess, is what he's saying.
Oh, I'm an Eagles fan.
So, when the Eagles beat the Patriots, what was the party like at the Vince house?
It was actually quite mild because I was at a friend's house, so they were Patriot rooters, so.
So you didn't rub it in? You rub it into us when anything happens. You didn't rub it into them?
No, because with the Patriots, we're even now.
Are you saying you have an internet personality and a real personality that differ from each other?
Internet personality. Remember, texts come across a little bit differently, perhaps, when you read it versus...
It's because I always read it, and it comes across in my voice.
Yeah, he has a little salt and pepper to it.
Yeah, I go ahead and do that. 802-655-6672. Brady, what do you want to get to next?
They said what?
They said what? That's next. You're in the huddle. What a 1.3 the game.
You haven't done trivia.
What did he say? Did I hear that right? Are you sure? Let's go to the tape. It's time for They Said What? On the Huddle, 101.3, the game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the Huddle, 101.3, the game on this Thursday, on this rainy Thursday out there. It's hot and humid and rainy and all that stuff. Of course, Vince sitting in with us. Who used to be in South Hero, now in Colchester, but we never put the city by your name, do we, Vince? We just say Vince.
No, he's just Vince.
Just Vince.
You guys have gotten used to me, so yeah, just Vince.
Vince, well, the anti-baseball guy.
What people don't realize is that once people tell us where they are one time, they don't need to tell us over and over again because we add it in. So if you say, like, you don't need to say it's Vince. We just say, because we have you listed in our contact list. When someone messages us the first time, hey, it's Vince from Colchester, we'll put that in, Vince in Colchester, and then we'll always appear as Vince from Colchester. We still have people who have texted us 1,000 times who tell us who they are and where they're from, and even despite us telling this.
And then I could see exactly which ones you told people to text him, because it was like first-time texters now. They're like, hey, this guy's great. So obviously it's some of your minions out there, no doubt about that.
Wow.
All right, Brady, let's get to They Said What. Who do you want to start things
off? They Said What?
Colin Cowherd talking today, The Herd, noon to 3 every day before us, talking about the similarities between Steph Curry and Tom Brady.
Steph Curry's very Tom Brady. Just look at him. Family, give, support, relinquish. Kyrie Irving is the opposite of that. Talented, not disputing any of that. But when Paul George chose Westbrook, we all knew this is a fling. This isn't a marriage, and it didn't last 3 full years.
So do you see Tom Brady and Steph Curry being a lot alike as players? And I think what Colin means is, look, Steph might take a little less money to make the team better. He's willing to give up a little bit of his own personal image for the good of the team. And we've known Brady to sacrifice his own salary to have a better team around him. Do you buy that Brady and Curry are similar?
No. I mean, I could see a little bit of an analogy there, but I don't really buy that. First of all, I mean, obviously Steph Curry is a really great player, but not near the status of a Tom Brady. Too, does he take less money? He took the 4-year, $44 million, but that's because there was questions about his ankle. Now he got the big money, right? Now he's getting paid the big contract. Is he not his last one? Well, was as big as you can get. I don't know if it's
the Supermax
or whatever it is. He's going to get a lot more his next one, no doubt about that. And, yeah, he did take a little bit of a back seat, but still, when it comes to Golden State, he's still the face of the Warriors. Yeah, he's a family guy, but Tom Brady's wife is a hell of a lot more likable. You know, obviously we got into it with Steph's wife about some of the things she said on social media. But, I think that would be some of the similarities, but mostly I don't think Steph is in the same class as Tom Brady, not even close there.
I'll take it a little bit further in that Steph Curry, I don't see him as the alpha dog of that team. There's no question Brady is on his team. He can get away with yelling at his coaches and so forth, where Curry is more behind the scenes perhaps, or just not as vocal. And when it comes to money, you just can't compare NFL and NBA, regardless of who you are. You can be middle-of-the-road NBA player and make a lot more money than a great NFL player.
Well, I still think Steph is the – I'm with Arnie. I think Steph is the guy on that team. So I disagree with you there. I can see where Colin's coming from in this, but I don't think it's just because they're both wired the same way. I think both of them understand that their legacies are tied to championships, and they will do what it takes to get championships. Yeah, and if that means – relinquishing a little bit of either personal statistics or money in order to bring in a second player, then I could see both of them doing that. I think they both have an ego. I think, like all athletes, they're part egotistical, part selfish.
Right.
But I also think they are selfless enough to know that what benefits them is winning championships, and they can be selfless enough to bring in others to help with that.
I think what Steph did is a lot more admirable than, I guess, Tom Brady. They brought in a guy arguably
who's better than him.
I mean, you can't really do that in the NFL, but let's just say for argument's sake that Garoppolo was just as good as Brady. Brady wanted him gone real quick, right?
Yeah.
Steph said, we want this guy. And I know it's different because only one guy can play quarterback and you have five guys on the court. But Steph sacrificed to bring in a guy that was better than him, I think, is a lot more. And you saw Brady say, I don't want this guy even on the team. Let's ship him out. I don't even want him around here breathing down my neck.
Well, I think the best comparison between the two is just simply that they're career-long with their team. So with that comes a different level of obligation, a different level of responsibility. When we look at Kyrie Irving and we're ripping Kyrie Irving, look, Kyrie is a fling with these places that he's been.
Right,
he's not
right.
a career-long Cavalier. He's not a career-long Celtic. He won't be a career-long Nets. So he has a different level of obligation. He's more of a hired gun, and he's the guy who's going on to pair in some of these other places, whereas Brady and Steph, they're career-long Patriots and Warriors, so therefore with that comes the obligation that they're going to stay, and how can we win here?
I think all guys are now going to be hired guns. I mean, LeBron's been on how many teams now? Four? I think that's the wave of the future for athletes out there, Vince.
You're right, and that Curry does, in a sense, I don't want to say bow down, but he definitely passed on some of the leadership role to Durant or even Green sometimes, being vocal that he is. So I still stand that Curry is not the same leader on that team as Brady is to his team. But Curry, I'll go with being the face of the franchise, but not the all-encompassing player.
Yeah, they got several leaders, no doubt about that, Brady.
They said what?
Sorry, I thought that's you were done.
Right.
You pointed at me.
Yeah, go.
Brady the Bunch podcast out today. Very, very excited about that. Every Tuesday, every Thursday we do that. Very excited to get a chance to talk to Michael Keeley. So, Arnie, this is a name that you don't know.
No, I don't know him.
No, of course you don't, because I'm going to tell you who he is. It's a name that you don't know. It's a name that you might know in a couple of years. Michael Keeley is a minor league hockey broadcaster for the Maine Mariners of the ECHL.
Okay.
Is a guy, maybe your son will end up playing someday for the Maine Mariners.
Of course.
Mike Keeley is 28 years old.
Wow.
He's working his way up towards the NHL. He went to college with me at Oswego.
Okay.
And he joined me on the podcast today to talk about life broadcasting in the minor leagues, about his quest to get to the NHL. And he talked about remembering games, doing games in this area at Plattsburgh State.
That Plattsburgh is such an intimidating building to go up and play there as an opposing team. And, you know, every single time Oswego was up there in my 4 years, it was a great game. I made three trips there in my 4 years. I think each team won one, and then the third one was a tie. So there was always anybody's game. And, you know, I think at Oswego, the atmosphere was comprised mostly of students, and at Plattsburgh, it was more of the town people. But they were each unique in their own way.
So it was a lot of fun to talk with Mike. And again, he gave the stories from the road about...
That's going to be hell minor league hockey. And
I mean, he loved it. Arnie, you talk about the leagues that your son's played in. He's done junior hockey.
Oh,
he's done this. He's done that. He's done that. Now he's, again, with the Maine Mariners. And, you know, Tom Caron used to be the voice of the Portland Pirates.
Oh, how funny.
So he talked about... He actually knows of TC a little bit.
Right.
Through just hockey in Maine. So that was fun. So Brady the Bunch podcast online, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Spreaker. Spreaker. You can subscribe, rate, review, give us a 5-star rating, help bump us up. Facebook and Twitter at 101.3 The Game as well. So every Tuesday, Thursday, all thanks to our friends over at Brewetta Tea, which is the new and revolutionary way to drink tea. You can order it brewetta.com. That's Brewetta.com. Or here in the Champlain Valley, we have our friend Alex who brings it into the studio.
Absolutely.
For us. So you can order it alex@brewetta.com here locally.
You see, Rich should have done this when he was younger.
Yes.
He should have just said, the hell with it. I'm going to go ahead and, you know, do my baseball like he did when he went, what it was, a couple of years ago now.
Yeah.
And but that was too late.
At 54.
Too old. Yeah, 54, I mean, you're too old. That's it.
Vince, you know? What did you want to be when you grew up?
Boy,
did you
want to
work?
One.
Did you want to work for Keurig Dr. Pepper?
Yeah, come on
no,
now.
No, I've been lucky to land there. I originally wanted to be an architect, and that's what I studied for.
Like Art Vandelay? Seinfeld?
Yeah, Seinfeld, Art Vandelay. No, he was a city planner.
Yes, he was a city planner. Well,
sorry, that was George. Sorry, Art Vandelay was someone else. But no, that was me trying to be an architect. But I just want to go back to a point. Our interviews you guys do in general around about people in the industry that are from this area. Area is kind of a broad term. That's what makes the show kind of unique. It makes it really cool that you can see that people have gone on and moved their way up. Like one time you brought in the GM of the Cavaliers. And
yeah, that was fun. Yeah, yeah. Kobe people, Altman.
So, stuff like that. It really makes the show different. It makes it really cool.
Well, thank you. The Kobe Altman interview was 6 degrees of separation. It was like, who do we know that? 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 Who we know that knows that guy? And we ended up getting Kobe Altman on. Arnie, you remember this. We got him on first before anybody.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's dealing with LeBron, dealing with the Kyrie trade demands, and we get him on before at the time, Mike and Mike and Golic and Wingo. Or Mike Golic and Wingo didn't exist yet. It was Mike and Mike still, Colin on another network at that time. Like, we got him on before anybody.
I don't think he's bringing back my brother's buddy, David Nwamba.
No, sorry about that.
Actually, I'm pretty sure he's not. So that's an inside story for you guys out there. David Nwamba will not be going back.
Hot sports opinions.
That's a fact.
Vince, yeah. We're going to have you on an episode of the Brady and the Bunch podcast at some point, too, do a longer form with you. But you've got something here locally that you've got coming up that you want to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about this. There's a team of us going to be hosting a Bloody Mary event competition here in Essex Fairgrounds October 5th.
Okay.
It's to raise money for a nonprofit called the New England Hemophilia Association. It's for education and finance assistance for families with bleeding disorders. It's quite under the radar, so to speak. So we're going to be organizing that really quick here. And when tickets will go on sale, we'll keep you posted on that. It's going to be a real fun event at the fairgrounds.
So it's going to be October 5th. So if you like Bloody Marys and you like to help good causes, then sounds like the one for you. I've never had a Bloody Mary because I don't like tomato juice. But to help Vince out,
exactly.
I just might have to try one.
And Tom says, Arnie, who's the fourth team LeBron played for? It was three, but he played for four different teams.
Four teams,
Cleveland,
three
twice,
organizations.
Miami and the Lakers. So
easy,
teams.
Tom.
Yeah, easy, Tom. Vince, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Thanks for stopping by. Always love having you on the show.
Hey, great, guys. Keep up the great work.
We look forward to having you on a Brady and the Bunch podcast.
Brady will tell you what's trending. Who's our guest next?
Andrew in Richmond.
Andrew in Richmond will stop on by. We'll also have the top four at four. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Heard. Agree or disagree? We want to hear your opinion. Call in now. 802-655-6672. It's The Huddle.
Oh, what a catch by Zimmer!
On 101.3 The Game at 1013thegame.com.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game on this Thursday. I know it's raining out there. Be safe. Be careful. Some parts it was actually pouring out there, Brady. So
Sean Parker said it wasn't going to rain here in the Champlain Valley.
That's why he's leaving weather.
Wow. Ouch.
Ouch, Sean Parker.
He's going to hear that, too, because he listens to the podcast every single night. He listens to us commercial-free on the... On 1013thegame.com.
I'll just take that out of the podcast.
You don't know how to do that.
I do.
No, you don't. You definitely don't know how to do that. That is 100% sure.
Yeah, I'm somebody.
You don't even know the website the podcast is on.
I wouldn't have a clue.
Exactly.
Wouldn't have a clue there. Introduce our next guest, Brady.
Well, we got Andrew from Richmond joining us. Vince was in last hour. That was a lot of fun. I'm calling him.
Yes, it was.
I'm calling him the Vinstigator now.
Yeah,
because
I like that, the Vinstigator.
Because
like
he's instigating everything with us on the text line.
I think
line,
he was a little nervous. He had that deep voice. voice, slow, a little nervous. Well, the microphone is your friend. I'm trying
well,
to.
Vince said he didn't want to come here and antagonize us. I said, Vince, that's your role.
Yes, antagonize away.
Vince,
please.
That is what you do. Rams fan Ralph didn't hold anything back.
No,
so.
He was good. Rams fan Ralph
Andrew in Richmond is here. He's a Brady and the Bunch podcast
Welcome,
alum.
Andrew.
So Andrew is here. What's up, Andrew?
How are we doing, fellas?
Appreciate you joining. Andrew works as a real estate agent. He's the one who sold Rich's house.
Oh, get out of here.
So how dirty was Rich's house?
You must be the best real estate agent in the world because that place was a dump, was it not, or what?
Price corrects everything.
How much work did Rich actually have to do to get it sellable?
We basically started top to bottom and cleaned out. And actually, one of our director of staging that is good friends with Rich and his family brought in their own furniture, took the time to help him paint.
Because Rich's furniture couldn't possibly be good enough for a staging of selling
and
a house.
And I can't imagine Rich painting a house either.
How was it just disgusting inside? Like, was there trash in all the rooms? Or
honestly, it wasn't too dirty. He did have a roommate that kept things in line. I'm not sure if you guys knew, but he had a roommate living there that you go into her room.
Yes, I did. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Her room's very clean.
Yeah.
The kitchen dishes are clean. But aside from that, anywhere you see Rich, there's still basically what it looked like when he moved in. Heaven knows how many years
Rich
ago.
Only has one fork in his apartment, or in his condo. He has one fork.
Did he have anything in the fridge? Was there anything in the fridge there?
I didn't dare go that far.
Come on.
He has one plate and one fork.
In his new condo or whatever?
Yeah, because when I was at Colt Camp, his sister was making fun of him. She goes, he only has one. Listen to this.
Yeah.
When his family comes to visit, they have to bring all their own towels and all their own silverware and all their own plates because Rich has one towel, one plate, and one fork.
You have to bring your own shampoo and stuff like that? I mean, it's like the little travel compartment for shaving cream and toothpaste and geez.
I don't think he can accommodate guests anymore at his current condo.
How big is the
Now, don't say where he lives.
No, you can say where.
No,
it doesn't bother
stop.
Me. That doesn't bother me.
Don't say where he lives, but is it really only 600 square feet?
That probably is spot on. It does have a balcony, though.
Is it bigger than this studio?
Barely.
Oh, wow. How am I ever going to go over and visit him?
He's a happy man, though, I think there. I think that he enjoys being a little disconnected from the rest of the world.
You're a happy man with the commission that he gave you.
I don't understand how the elevator goes up to three floors, but he's on the fourth floor or something like that.
Must have been an afterthought, the fourth floor.
I'm still perplexed about that.
He needs to stay in shape, so they decided that it would be great to take a flight of stairs every day.
And he's the only one on that floor? Is that the way?
He does not have a penthouse suite like that.
No, there are people next to him. He's got like college kids making noise against the thin walls and things like that, I think.
I thought he was in the penthouse.
It is a predominant rental unit, so I'm sure Rich is surrounded by college kids. So
people rent it, but Rich owns his part?
Yeah, they're all owned, but a lot of them are investment properties, so you end up with some interesting folks in that neighborhood.
I'm going to do an Airbnb and get the place right next to Rich and throw a massive party and just like keep him up all night. And then he has to show up at like 4 in the morning to work. I swear I'm going to do that. That'd be awesome.
I told Rich yesterday at Colt Camp all the things that you wanted to do to him and to ruin his experience. He said, if Arnie ever gets near here, I'm quitting.
Oh, if I ever got near there, I'd be shot on sight. And not with a gun, maybe a bow and arrow. Who knows out there? What do you mean he's quitting if I ever got near him? Look at him. He's so defensive about his Colt Camp. It's unbelievable.
He's very, very protective, as is his whole family.
About the camp or?
About Colt Camp. They're very protective. When Rich even,
what happens if I buy a house near Colt Camp? What's going to happen then?
When Rich mentioned that I was going to mention Colt Camp on the air, people gave him dirty looks. They were almost ready to shun him like he was an Amish person.
Oh, I'm sure. I once found a house near Colt Camp. And I told Rich I was going to buy it, and he was almost in tears.
I believe it.
He was going to cry.
Andrew, if Arnie comes to you and says, I want to buy a house near Colt Camp, you have to say no.
I'll waive my commission and help you, Arnie, find a camp.
Andrew, I'm looking for a house, but I've got beer money but champagne taste. So, I need something like in the $1 million range, but I only want to pay 50 cents on the dollar. You got any of those or what?
You want to go to Lincoln?
No. I want to be in the high rent area. I want to be in like Charlotte or
Arnie really wants to live on the water.
I do want to live on the water.
He wants to live in either Charlotte or up by the Grand Isle Ferry. That's where he wants to live.
I got to read this real quick. Donnie wants to know: are you saying Cold Camp or Colt?
C
O L C O L T Camp. Neither.
No, Colt.
Yeah. C U L T Camp.
Yeah.
He spelled Colt like a horse. C O L T or a Baltimore Colt. Or Indianapolis Colt, or Cold, C-O-L-D. No, we're talking about Colt Camp, C-U-L-T. So That's a good question, though. I mean, yes. With my accent, you probably couldn't tell what the hell we were saying.
Arnie wants to live, like I said, near the Grand Isle Ferry. That's really wants to live in a $700,000 house that he can get for like $320.
Exactly. Bingo. Bingo. Now we're talking there, Andrew.
So you're never moving.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, if you ever find one, you know where to reach me. That's for sure. I don't think I could read Lane, can I? I don't want to start getting into this personal stuff.
Yes. No, not that.
So, you're stopping me from reading it.
Lane was funny, not Donnie.
Can I read Lane?
Yeah.
It says, the result of Rich's divorce is the worst I've ever heard. One fork and one plate.
No, that's Rich's inability to do dishes. Like, he doesn't want more than one.
Oh, I just saw Rich's divorce. I'm like, I don't know if we should be bringing that stuff up. But what the hell, you know?
He's gone. Bring up everything. He's not going to listen.
Yeah. There's no radio there. No, you can't watch TV there either.
No,
by the
definitely
way, did
no
he
TV.
Play ping pong with you?
Not with me, but I did see him play.
Is
others.
He any good?
No way.
I didn't watch him.
I
saw.
We all wanted to know.
He was playing right after I left, but it was like 9 o'clock, and I was like, I'm not staying anymore. Getting eaten alive by
you
bugs.
You were there till 9 o'clock.
I was there from 6:40 till 9.
If I went, I would have been there from 6:40 to 6:45, and I go. Well, it has been a nice 5 minutes. I think I've got to go now.
That's because there was no dinner provided for me.
Don't get up, please. And don't sing any song goodbye for me. I'm just going to go ahead and leave right now.
Andrew, if I tell you that there's a cookie. That's in the top four at four. Let's just go.
Get to the top four at four.
We've got 3 hours of show to cover every day. But here's the top stories. All you need to know in one spot. It's your top four at four on The Huddle on 101.3 The Game. Number four.
So I went to cult camp yesterday, and it was interesting. I'm in. I am in the cult. I am in Rich's cult.
What is the appeal to joining cult camp? I'm not quite
sure. Just, the people are nice. The people are friendly. They welcomed Jess and I in with open arms. They showed off all the accommodations. They look suitable. Nice view of the water.
Like, was there one head leader that says, I want you to meet my seven wives or anything like
there
that?
There is a leader of the cult.
With seven wives?
No.
I don't know. I'm just asking.
I told you, it's just like Toy Story.
Okay.
I have been chosen. Farewell, my friends. I go on to a better place.
That's exactly what it's
gonna
like.
I'm going to look in your eyes. I'm going to see them like spinning around. You know what I'm talking about? Like black and white circles.
Cult camp was fun. Rich's family was nice. They were all incredibly friendly. Which I knew was part of the recruitment effort.
Yes.
They invited us back next year.
Do you have to pay anything to join cult camp? Is there like...
You have to pay a weekly fee every week that you're there.
And blood. You don't have to give blood?
No blood. So
you sure about that?
It was fun. Andrew, if I tell you that there's a cookout, what does that mean to you?
Grill, hot dogs, hamburgers, filet, strip, potatoes, corn on the cob,
okay, so Rich,
watermelon.
Rich asked me last week, he goes, I want you and Jess to come up for the cookout at the camp. He goes, it's Wednesday night. I go, okay, we'll come up. So I text him yesterday, 6:05. I say, hey, we're leaving in 5 minutes. We'll be there by 6:45. Don't eat all the food. Ha, ha, ha. He goes, there's no food. I go, what are you talking about? There's no food. He goes, dinner's over by 6:30. I go, I thought you said it was cookout night. He goes, the cookout's over by 6:30. I go, this is not a cookout that you're inviting me to. If you're inviting you, when you tell me that there's a cookout going on, I anticipate there will be food there eligible to be eaten when I arrive.
That's like me saying, would you like to go to the Patriots game with me, Brady? Then you get over to my house and we just watch it on TV. Hey, it's on TV. I didn't mean I didn't go to the game.
That's exactly
what's wrong with you.
So at least under that circumstance, the person actually gets to watch the game.
Brady shows up in full garb with the number one finger.
So get this. Rich goes to Andrew, he goes, well, if you want food, you can stop at Zeb's in South Hero on the way. Now you're not going to give me food. You want me to go and pay more money for me to go get my own food? Like, I can eat my own damn food in my fridge if that's the case.
I've been invited to join another camp, and I'm joining. This one, Chris in Champlain said there's a nudist camp by the Grand Isle Ferry. You'll love it. And I'm in for that.
Now you're really buying a house there.
I'm going to buy. You know what? If you got it, flaunt it. That's what I always say. I think I'm going to join the nudist camp. Rich's cult camp is not a nudist camp. They wear clothes?
Yes, they wore clothes.
You sure?
I'm positive.
Okay.
Did Rich cook?
Oh, no. There's a camp leader who runs the camp. He's the only one who handles the food.
I think I'm going to join the nudist camp. I think that's a good idea.
They're going to kick you out. Isn't there a weight limit?
Wow. Jim in Pennsylvania, my cult camp went by a different name, Catholic school. And Ty in Canada said, things I learned today. Rich is a very strange man. Rich lives like a gypsy. Colt Camp has already brainwashed Brady, and all native Vermonters sound alike. I didn't know the last one.
We've only had two native Vermonters, yeah. I think. Vince, and are you a native Vermonter? No, you're from
not.
Cincinnati.
I'm a Hoosier.
Oh, that's right. You're from Indiana.
Indiana.
So,
well, Rich is kind of a native. He's been here like for so
he's
long.
He's a flatlander.
He's a flatlander, but still.
But, speaking of Ty and Camp, so Andrew's laughing when Ty texts in. When you listen to the show, and you listen a lot, who are your favorite people to hear text from?
Myself?
Yeah. Just you?
No, the Rams fan, I'd say.
Rams fan Ralph.
I don't pay a lot of credence to other outside of your personalities, we'll say.
Oh, good. That means we're more famous is what that means.
Yeah. I'm still interested about that nudist camp, though, Brady. I'm going to find out where it is.
Are you going to? Andrew's like, where is it? I'll see if I can sell some real estate there.
Let me go visit it. Periscope it.
Drone footage.
Yeah, hey, he's already live nude.
Oh,
that'd be great.
No, it wouldn't.
That'd be awesome.
Another thing from Toy Story. Remember, Arnie? So again, you've seen it where they take the, they've got the squeaky alien toy and the big claw comes out like you can go to the grocery store and they all look to it as their leader. That's what the cult's like.
Who's in charge here?
That's what it's like. That's what cult camp is like.
You know, it's so funny. The former quarterback for Jacksonville, Mark Brunell.
Yeah.
He was in a kind of a religious thing. I forget what it was.
He went to University of Washington.
I know, but he had once he got into the NFL, they had like a religious thing going on. And it was like athletes for God or something like this. And I had him on my show with a couple of other guys. I go, who's the ringleader of this cult? And he just like almost...
He lost it on you?
He did, almost lost it. Like, what? Oh, my goodness.
The only thing that was really weird about cult camp was that when you leave at the end of the week, everybody has to get in a circle in their cars and be in their cars.
Shine the lights on you.
And they all have to sing a goodbye chant, like the camp motto.
You have to be making this up.
No, this is 100% true. At the end of the week... They all get in their cars.
And then they throw rocks at you after that?
No. They all get in their cars, and before they drive away, all the windows are down, and they all sing this camp motto that's like a camp fight song, and they all have to sing it.
Do they have to sing from their car?
Yes.
Can't sing standing up from outside the car?
Nope.
They have to be specific rules. I don't like rules.
So they have to be in their car, and they have to sing this. And I did find out that there is a password. Like, it's not like a gated community, but like if somebody comes out to greet you, you have to know a secret code.
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't even know the secret.
Is there a secret handshake?
Not yet.
But you need to know the secret code, otherwise you're an outsider.
Yeah, so I don't know it yet, but I told you.
Bad things could happen to you.
Invite only, but so next year I'm in, but right now I haven't been given all the...
I've seen too many movies like that, I'm aware.
I haven't
been... You're not going to sucker me in this thing.
Oh,
you're not going to kill me.
I didn't think they were going to get me either, but it was sort of wonderful.
I don't know about that. Sort of wonderful? I'm afraid now. Look at that. Sort of wonderful?
I see why Rich likes it.
Oh, my goodness, man.
Top 4-4, 101.3 the game.
Number 3.
All right, on to the football, on to the NFL. The Texans won't hire a general manager. Why do you care? Well, because the Texans were looking to hire Nick Caserio, the Patriots' director of player development. They wanted him to be the general manager. Now they're not going to hire a general manager, and prevailing thought is that when Caserio is a free agent at the end of next season, that then they can just go simply hire him unimpeded with no contractual problems and no Bill Belichick, anything in the way, they could hire Caserio next year. Do you read this as a big deal or no?
When you first brought this up, what was it, like about a month ago?
Yeah, about a month and a half.
We were talking about this. I really didn't care about it. It wasn't something that really interested me. I'm like, people move on all the time. The Patriots will... We'll move on from this, and it's no big deal. And then as the story was progressing and they weren't going to let him out of his contract, I'm like, that's not really the American way. You don't do something like that, especially when somebody wants to leave. I can understand if it's a player and, trade, that's a whole other thing. Now it's got to the point where this guy has 1 year left on the contract. Houston's not hiring somebody, so they're purposely leaving it open for him. What are you doing? Because now I consider him a spy. As far as I'm concerned, this guy is a spy, and he's thinking about going over to Houston. I want him gone.
The
writing's on the wall. Why keep him around? I know it would kind of suck to have to replace him, but you knew about this a couple of months ago. This is ridiculous. You see what's happening here. So just allow him to go. You should never have held him back to begin with. Allow him to go. Now he's just going to go ahead and steal everything you got and be a spy there. I wouldn't trust him.
Sounds like the Bengals right there. They're the largest organization in the United States without a GM, and it's not a good road to go down. I can't imagine that it's going to be a good idea to – I don't see why New England just doesn't give him the title that he wants.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. Why doesn't New England just make him the general manager in New England, which is something that we talked right. about a while back, too. Look, I think this is a big deal for all the reasons that we're talking about. Why won't New England elevate him when he is supposedly as valuable to the organization right. as we think he is? Belichick has spoken highly of him publicly on multiple occasions. So if he's that good, why is he not promoted? Is he going? I don't think he's going to act as a spy. I wouldn't go that far, Arnie. But at the same time, I wouldn't be telling him a lot of proprietary information to my franchise right now, knowing that he could leave, just because I wouldn't want to teach him more if he's going to eventually leave.
Isn't it Robert Kraft's call on who the general manager is going to be, or does that come from Belichick?
I would say that it is Robert Kraft and Jonathan Kraft, his son.
I meant the Kraft family.
Yes, the Kraft family, so, I would say.
Did Belichick say, don't make this guy the general manager? Or did they say, we don't want to make you the general manager? I find it hard to believe Robert Kraft and his son said, we can't make this guy the general manager. It's got to come from Belichick. Or Belichick told them, don't make him the GM because of what's going on at Houston. They don't have that insight like Belichick has. This has to be coming from Belichick.
The Texans seem so inept to me every year. I don't know how they make the playoffs, you know, every year or two. I just don't get it.
Weak division.
Yeah, well, not yeah. anymore necessarily. With Indy yeah, coming well, Indy up, coming Indy's going to be yeah. very good. And Jacksonville, remember, went to the AFC Championship game a year ago. And Tennessee's always on the verge of the playoffs. So I don't know that it's a weak division so much as it is a division where there's a lot of equality among the four teams as opposed to having one elite team right. above the rest. But,
right.
I mean, I don't like Bill O'Brien as a coach at all. I haven't liked their quarterbacks until Deshaun Watson. I don't know how the Texans ever wind up winning any games. And they pull this garbage where they fire their GM prematurely. Now they're holding a position open for a guy they don't even know if he's going to come for sure.
The entire division is equally weak. They might be on equal terms, but there's no good team in that.
The Indianapolis conference. Colts are a good team.
They will be, yes. They weren't in the past until with their massive cap space and the moves they made, they will be a force to reckon with. But you know,
in the past, I would say you're right that the division was bad. Jacksonville was awful. Indy was awful. Post Peyton, luck out for the year. That is true. Now, I don't necessarily
agree
with
those,
that.
I don't even think any of those teams, I would never consider any of those teams to win a Super Bowl. Or even close to winning
the Colts could possibly win a Super Bowl.
You sound like Colin now. You know, he loves Andrew Luck.
Jacksonville was one game away. Now, I don't think they're there now, obviously. And I don't even think with Nick Foles, et cetera, but Jacksonville is not a team that last year I thought they were going to be the biggest regressing team. This year I think they're going to be a team that's hovering around 500, maybe a little bit better.
I kind of agree with Andrew. I think it's a balanced division, but not a great division. It's not like top heavy, bottom heavy. It's just four teams will fight it out for probably just one spot. I don't think you'll get two teams in there.
Top 4-4, 101.3 the game.
Number 2.
Pelicans general manager David Griffin talked about why the Celtics didn't get involved in the trade for Anthony Davis. He says, we were in a situation where it was clear that Davis was ready to move on, and it wasn't clear that he was willing to stay anywhere but Los Angeles. So I think that probably played into Boston's thinking more so than anything about Kyrie Irving, because Boston did not want to rent him, essentially, is paraphrasing the rest of that long paragraph. But so he says because Davis wouldn't guarantee that he'd stay in Boston, that's why the Celtics didn't get involved. Ding, ding, ding. This seems like a win for Danny Ainge. Hey, for the one more time for the don't want to rent players in the back column, please, because that's me.
Couple things on this, okay? Why does everybody want to go to Brooklyn, the Clippers, the Lakers? I mean, I understand Los Angeles. Maybe the Knicks. We'll see what happens when, you know, there are other contracts.
Nobody wants to go to the Knicks.
Well, I know one thing, though. Nobody wants to go to Boston.
Kemba did?
No, he was traded here, okay?
Oh, stop.
This was about the money. Had Charlotte done the right thing and given him the money, he would not be here right now.
Okay, but he's still...
There'd be no doubt in my mind. It was about the money with him. It wasn't like he said, I really want to be a Bostonian. It's not like Kevin Durant, who took less to go to Brooklyn, or Kawhi, who took less to go to the Clippers. You know, that proves that you really want to be there. Kemba says he wants to be here, but if he really wanted to be here, he'd be here before the 8 years that he spent in Charlotte was up. So I'm not so sure about that. I don't think that Boston is I've said this before, I don't think it's a destination for a lot of athletes. You've mentioned some in baseball, but other than that, we don't get a lot of free agents.
I disagree with that. Every Horford, Kemba, Hayward.
I mean, you give it Horford. Who the hell is that? Well,
I'm just saying, three of the last 4 years, yeah, you've signed a max free agent. Three of the last 4 years, you've signed a max free agent.
I know, but I'm giving you the Kevin Durant's of the world, the LeBron's.
How many of those are there in the world?
Kyrie, you know, even they don't want to stay here. And he could have stayed here and be passed on how much money. He said, yeah, 50, 60, 70 mil. The hell with it. I just want to get out of here so bad. I don't even want the money.
Look, the Celtics were smart in this regard to not get involved in the Davis situation. I know Kawhi Leonard as a rental player won a championship. That is so far the exception. I want almost no part of doing that. I'm glad the Celtics didn't go down this road. Even if they had kept Kyrie Irving, this would have been a risky thing to do and have Davis. If they had Irving on a longer-term deal, I'd have been more okay with it because there would be some security, but like a one-year deal for Kyrie and Davis being here on a as a rental player, I wanted no part of that. So I'm glad the Celtics weren't involved.
I don't know that I agree, Brady. You can build for the future forever, and I feel like that's all the Celtics have been talking about is the capital assets and the draft assets. At some point, you got to pull the trigger and go for it. And if it means making a move to bring on a Kawhi or a Kyrie like they did in the past, you just have to take that leap of faith and trust that you got a good organization that can coach them up and lead the way. I would make the move. They can't just continue this path of building draft capital and young talented players if you're not going to do anything with it.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, the Los Angeles Clippers, we all agree, are a championship contender, right?
Right. Yes.
With Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, course, they're a championship, yes, contender. They have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard for 3 years each. They each have 3 years left on their contract. They traded 5 first-round picks to get Kawhi. If they win the championship, then I'll say great, justified. If they don't win the championship, they've gone for the big move like you wanted. They have George and they have Leonard. If they don't win the title, both of them leave in 3 years. Now they don't have a championship. They don't have George or Kawhi, and they have no draft picks for the next half decade. I'm just saying.
Yeah, if they go, it's only to the Lakers. There's no other place to go.
That's not so. Yeah. I understand 3 years is not a rental player. I'm just saying, when you make that big move, it better pay off.
Absolutely.
Or you're going to be hamstrung for a decade.
I think a decade is an extravagant statement. The way that teams move around with caps,
with the Clippers with no first round picks for 5 years, I would say that's going to hurt you.
What have the Clippers done ever?
Okay, look, the Nets 2013 or whatever is when they make the big trade with the Celtics. 7 years later, we're talking about them finally being relevant with Kyrie and Durant. 7 years later.
I would be very interested to see what the Clippers' season ticket sales went to within 24 hours of the acquisition.
And that's great. If they don't win in 3 years and everybody leaves and they have no picks, when they're going 8-74, yep, we'll see what
they'll
their ticket
get
sales
those
are
picks
like.
Again. Yeah,
but you also have to understand, the Clippers are not only playing for a championship, they're playing to be more relevant than the,
yes,
Lakers. It's a unique situation in Los Angeles when you share the same arena. And Bombers, another thing, Bombers building a new arena from his own money. And that's going to be within, is it 2-3 years? So he's using Kawhi Leonard and Paul George to go ahead and get interest and, you know, have his own Clipper fans and that. So this is more than just winning a championship. I know you don't want to hear that, but it is, because he's really trying to build a whole mold there, a whole, you know,
culture,
like you said, that's what you got to do with the Clippers. You're fighting the Lakers and everybody else in that, Tom Brady. It is kind of tough.
Number one.
All right, real quick, we're one day closer to the start of the second half of baseball season. Finally, Red Sox, Yankees, and the Rays will continue to battle it out in the playoff race in the AL East, although the Yankees feel like they're way ahead in that one, 9 games ahead of the Red Sox. Real quick, second half, Red Sox will take on the Dodgers tomorrow. That's how they start it. What am I looking for? I'm looking for Devers and Bogarts to stay at elite productivity levels. And I want to see if Mookie and Sale can come back. That's what it's going to come down to in the second half.
I don't think Sale's going to have a good second half. Remember, I can't believe I'm going to actually get that one right. When I said he wasn't going to win double-digit games, I'm like, well, you made a mistake on that one. Thank goodness it's only going to cost you a dollar. With 3 wins, I don't think he's going to win double digits now. By the way, for as bad as we've been ripping the Red Sox, Brady, I think I sent this to you. At the beginning of the year, the over-under on the Red Sox win total was 95. Right now, as we're at the halfway point, the over-under win total is 90. So they didn't fall that bad. It was only 5 games, Andrew. For all their losing and struggling, they've only dropped 5 games in the win-loss total. So I think that's pretty good.
Hey, well, it's going to be an interesting second half. There's no really close races in all of baseball. And with the Red Sox, I think the bigger question is what's going to happen on the back end of the rotation. Aside from really Price, who Arnie, unfortunately, has been their top pitcher this year, much to your chagrin, potentially. Yeah. But I don't know what they're going to do on that backside. They really have no depth and no one to rely on in AAA. They're going to have to make some moves. And trade some of that lack of prospect capital. I mean, Chavez has fallen off. He came out
that
hot.
That would be Chavis for those of us who are scoring at home.
We are from Indiana. We pronounce things differently there. So, you know, I'm not sold on their rotation to be able to compete down the stretch.
I'm not sold on anything with their pitching staff, but I'm interested if Sale and they're going to need Mookie to hit better than 260. And Benintendi, by the way.
802-655-6672, off and running this hour. Andrew from Richmond sitting in with us. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Well, a really interesting story on the New York Giants as far as Dave Gettleman's approach to roster building.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Clay Tan and Colin are opinionated and confident, and they don't even compare to Arnie. It's The Huddle on 101.3, The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle, 101.3, The Game. Andrew from Richmond in this hour. Brian's grading everybody. He says he gave Vince a 4, Andrew an 8.
Whoop.
There you go. We're taking shots. And, you know, it's so funny because we got a lot more people taking shots at my wife when she was here than the whole rest of the group. People are nice to the other people.
That's because your wife was a lot more vocal than everyone else.
Yes, that's true.
She was stirring the pot for sure.
What did you think of Beth's performance?
I caught the first 10 minutes, and all I know, she wasn't offered a glass of water, and neither was I.
God, does everybody demand water?
Yeah, I got my water. Whether it was...
By the way, the WVMT people who share this studio with us, they were mad at you, Arnie, because they accused you of leaving a used Kleenex on the floor
yesterday.
Wait
till I leave something else. I don't like those guys. First on Texter, did Arnie end up winning the newlywed game? The video cuts to commercial right before you hear his answer.
Have you not listened to the show for the last 3 years?
I guess not. Yes, I did win the newlywed game, but we didn't get any of the prizes. No trip to Micronesia. No turtle wax, no rice-a-roni, absolutely nothing. So
did you watch the newlywed game video?
Not a chance.
Wow.
Not a chance. Why?
You know why? It's pretty funny stuff.
What is this video you speak of?
Who are these people?
Are you new to the show? New to Burlington area? Oh, my goodness.
Arnie and his wife were once on the newlywed game.
Yes.
Did not know that.
Okay, they were.
Yes.
The video is on YouTube.
How long ago were they newlywed?
25 years ago, whatever.
Yeah, so, I mean...
We put it on Facebook. We put it on Twitter multiple times.
Listen to the show often, Andrew.
We talk every day. Every day it's Arnie about, did you win the trip to Micronesia? Every day.
Oh, my goodness. Is this really Andrew in Richmond, or did we get somebody else that stuck in here?
What imposter is this? Is this someone from cult camp?
I was about to say, he's impersonating somebody from cult camp.
The sarcasm's tough to follow with your 250,000 listeners.
Oh, wow. He must have got that part right, that's for sure. All right, get to the Gettleman story. What's going on?
Well, first mistake of the day, thanks to Embroidery Works.
Mistake of the day was asking him about the newlywed game. Go ahead.
Embroidery Works, Joann's Uniforms, Heineberg Drive in Colchester, your local shop for corporate apparel and first responder uniforms. They even offer lettering for your truck and trailer with competitive pricing and super fast turnaround. Arnie, you and I have been disagreeing about this most of the offseason, and now we get a chance to bring it back up again.
Yeah.
A couple of former NFL executives were grading Dave Gettleman's approach to roster building for the New York Giants. Before I get into what they said, have you changed your stance at all on your opinion of how Gettleman's building the roster? When we think about drafting Daniel Jones, when we think about trading Odell Beckham, letting Landon Collins go, some of the other moves they've made, where do you stand now on Gettleman as we're 2.5 weeks away from training?
I certainly don't agree with all the moves. I'm not going to argue about that. Don't like the draft pick in Jones. Was not a big fan about that. Of course, I could be wrong, the masses could be wrong because I think I'm in the majority when I say I don't like Jones. It seems like 90% of the people don't like him and 100% of the Giant fans don't like him. So as for some of the moves I'm okay with, I thought it was time to go ahead and we had to cut some of the high-priced talents anyway. It's not like the Giants were going to go ahead and win a Super Bowl, so I'm okay with the rebuilding. I really wish that maybe last year was going to be Eli's last season. Unfortunately, it wasn't. He's got one more year, and then they'll have to move on without him. And I don't know what the future's going to hold without a good quarterback. They're not going to have one. They're going to have to go in a different direction. But I don't agree with all his moves. I certainly don't agree with his attitude a lot of times. But some of the moves he did had to be made. You can't argue with it. They had to go ahead and clear some things out. They had to change things up. The last couple of years have been miserable.
I've changed a little bit on my tune of what Gettleman's done. I appreciate, on the positive side, I appreciate that Dave Gettleman has largely stayed true to his roots of what's important to him. And when he came in here the first day at his press conference, he said, I want the hog mollies, meaning I want guys on the offensive line.
Right.
The five starters who are projected for the Giants this year were not there when Gettleman took over the team. He has completely reshaped the offensive line, okay, from signing Nate Solder last year to drafting Hernandez out of UTEP.
I didn't like that movie either.
In the second round to trading for Zeitler this year. Okay, there are five new offensive linemen that Gettleman is – five different offensive linemen that Gettleman inherited. So he has at least stayed true to his roots that he's trying to rebuild the offensive line. I appreciate that. I do believe that he drafted the right position with the number six pick. I don't know
just if the wrong guy.
I don't know if Jones is the right or wrong guy, but it was the right position as far as I'm concerned. I like that. The thing that I don't get about Gettleman is that this team I feel like is headed for somewhere between 5-11 and 8-8, Andrew. I don't think they're not a team that's going to the playoffs, and they're not going to be so bad that they get a top pick in the draft. So therefore, then what are you? And Gettleman has, it's not a full rebuild because he went out and he made these moves that we just talked about and signed guys to long-term deals. And he goes and gets Golden Tate, who's 31 years old, and gives him 4 years. He trades draft picks for Alec Ogletree. It's like, if you're rebuilding for the future, hold on to your draft picks and don't give Golden Tate $30 million when you're going to need that money eventually when you have a chance to be good. All they have done is sacrifice the future for some limited short-term gains here. And while it's good for you on Sunday, Arnie, to have your team win more games, being 8-8 does you no good. I'd rather the team be 5-11 at that point and save some of their cap space and not give the money to Golden Tate, etc.
If I'm 8-8, no. 8-8 does do you good because then you're saying to yourself, if we just did one thing different, we're 9-7, maybe we're in the playoffs. No, I don't agree with you on that.
I live my life in the middle of the pack as a Bengals fan, and we went through the eras as a loser, and you can never put too much faith into a draft pick. So I think he's looking to build a culture of winning, and bringing in his folks, building from the trenches, to me, is the right thing to do. I can't follow NFL cap space well enough. I'm not in your roles and buried in details on it. But you got to spend the money somewhere. I know they have salary floors. You can only roll over so much money. Golden Tate is a known...
He's 31 years old.
Locker room guy, though. People love Golden Tate.
He broke up Russell Wilson's first marriage. Don't give me locker room guy.
Hey, that's on the lady.
He cheated on Russell Wilson's wife. So don't give me that.
I didn't know that was Golden Tate.
Yes, it was Golden Tate.
I did not know that.
So, neither did I.
It was Golden Tate.
By the way, Alex and Moncton said Giant fans here, he likes Jones. I didn't love the pick that high with Allen available, but I think he's going to be real good. Andrew, I didn't like that pick of Jones.
Too high.
Not only too high, I just don't think he's going to be a good quarterback in the NFL.
What are your choices, though? I mean, the way it goes, if you're not securing the number one pick, the good quarterbacks don't reach free agency very rarely.
It was Haskins. I mean, Haskins was available. Yes. That was the one that got taken before Jones, or got taken right after Jones.
Yeah, I mean.
The thing I just don't get is, and I've said this all along, what exactly is the plan? Golden Tate is getting $38 million. Okay, your team's not going to be winning a Super Bowl this year. They're probably not headed for a playoff berth this year. So we're not anticipating the Giants to be really good until at least next year at the very earliest. Wouldn't that $38 million be better served being spent next year when you think you're closer to being able to win and there's other people available there? I don't need Golden Tate right now. I don't need him, especially when you tell me that wide receiver is such a plug-and-play position and I can find guys off the scrap heap and who gets cut and who's an undrafted free agent and who's this slot receiver. I need $38 million on a slot receiver and Golden Tate when they're apparently a dime a dozen to go find? That just doesn't seem feasible to me.
Well, here's your other option, and this would certainly take some pulling off, but I think it could work. There is a quarterback who's starting right now that a team doesn't want to pay big money to. But he is a winner, but they're not so sure he's going to remain a winner. I'm talking about the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. He's got 1 year left on the contract. Now, they could go ahead and franchise tag him after that. He wants the big money. I don't think Jerry wants to give him the big money. I don't think Steven wants to give him the big money. He had a good start. He has a good last six or eight games. The part in the middle, though, has not been so great. A lot of questions about them. If you're the Giants and he's a free agent, would you pay him $30 million a year to be your quarterback?
No. I'm already.
So you don't like him.
I like Jones. I have no problem with Jones. I'm just saying I have no problem. I said I like the position they took in the draft with Jones. I like Barkley. Obviously, we all like Barkley. I like the fact that they're building the offensive line from the trenches. But they have no defense, so this team's not going to be competitive this season, at least competitive to the point that fans would want them to be. So why are you trading? You traded a fourth-round draft pick, which has value, for a linebacker in Alec Ogletree, who's not going to be part of your next great team, who's your third highest hit against the cap, who's just wasting you money there. I'd rather keep the fourth round draft pick, continue to build for the future, and I go and sign a 31-year-old receiver to a four-year contract. That doesn't seem prudent at that point when I could use the money that Ogletree's making, I could use the money that Tate's making, keep it in the bank until I can go on a big spending spree when I'm supposed to be competitive
again. But you don't think they're competitive. That you just said that. If you're looking at the Giants' point, they're saying we have a good offensive line. We have the best running back in football. We have a Hall of Fame quarterback, and now we put a wide receiver to help him out. I think that was logical. What are you going to go into a season without a number one wide receiver now that you got rid of Odell? You had to have somebody, so that's where you had to go, Andrew.
Yeah, you got it. You got to run somebody out there, and I'd be interested to see what their actual contracts look like because we all know that they're really not.
Tate's $23 million guaranteed.
Guaranteed. So what's his up front? What's his dead money moving forward?
His dead money this year, $23 million. Next year, $16 million almost.
So it's good for 2 years, and then he's got next to no cap hit.
Yeah, 5-3.
Yeah, so manageable.
You want to get in 802-655-6672. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Coming up next, chance for Andrew to ask us some questions.
That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. What do we point to the game?
Clay Travis, Dan Patrick, Colin Cowherd. Sounds like a perfect start to a batting lineup. But the huddle is your cleanup hitter. Here to clear the bases. It's the huddle on 101.3, the game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle, 101.3 The Game. Andrew from Richmond stopping on by. He's going to be sitting in. By the way, real quick, I want to tell you, we'll have to get to this sometime, I don't know, today, tomorrow, whatever. They used robotic umpires calling the balls and the strikes yesterday.
Yeah, they're doing it for the rest of the season in the Atlantic League.
I didn't understand that the regular umpire could overrule the robot.
Yes.
So, I mean, but... Suppose somebody's stealing. How quickly did he have to overrule that? You know,
I think it's still human on the bases.
No, but
it's only
balls
and strikes.
Right, but I mean, if it's like a, I guess if it's a 3-0 count and they say ball four, and then the guy starts walking down,
interesting,
you know, stuff like that.
Yeah,
I don't know how quickly he has to overrule it or something.
I don't know.
Like that. So
I'll be interested in seeing.
By the way, in 5 years, we won't have any umpires left.
That's what Jeff Passan said today on ESPN.
In 5 years?
He said 5 years might be a little aggressive. His original guess was 5 years, but he said that might be slightly aggressive, but he said that he thinks within 5 years.
Nighthawk says, Andrew has the best radio voice of any guest I heard on this show. Rich should just write the material and use Andrew as a mouthpiece. Obviously, you know Nighthawk, I'm taking there. Obviously, you guys are good
Do you
friends.
Know Nighthawk?
I have no idea who this is.
I want to know Nighthawk's real name.
I love that.
It's probably like Bill or something.
I love that. That's great. All right. You got any questions for us, though, Andrew? Anything that's been, you know, weighing heavily on your mind? Anything about the show? Anything that you wanted to get an answer to before you get out of here?
Well, I'd like to know, Arnie, how you ended up in Vermont.
I was in Dallas. I was working for CBS in Dallas, and we were kind of sick of it there. We had enough. We moved to Buffalo, which is my wife's hometown. And in Buffalo, you know, Buffalo's not the greatest city. I had fun, though. I had a good time there.
You went to play basketball a lot.
I didn't do squat or work one day a week. I was having a blast. But we decided, you know, we wanted to go someplace different, someplace where she can get a good school education and play hockey. And we found Rice. So that's how we ended up in Burlington. And my wife loves Burlington. I love Burlington. So we're never leaving. We bought a place out in Williston. So you're stuck with us for a long, long time, that's for sure.
Well, that's going to be my next question. How can I sell your house and get you out of the state?
I don't think my wife wants to sell the place in Williston because I keep wanting to move to like someplace, you know, South Hero, North Hero, Grand Isle, you know, maybe move up to Mallards Bay, but she won't have it.
Big bucks. Yeah. Can't you buy two homes?
Yeah, no, that's not happening. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Not with as much as hockey equipment costs for their son. That's
why. Yeah, I got college to pay for it, too, so that's not happening.
You're not paying for that. You know that's your rich mother-in-law.
Yeah, but I got to pay for some things, too. Yeah. You know, it's not all on her. I got to pay for, like,
books. The notebooks.
Meals.
The meal plan. Andrew, anything else for us?
Well, you know, I went through the podcast with you, Brady, but I'd like to know how the podcast is going and where you're taking it next.
So the podcast is going great. Today we released episode 39 with Mike Keeley, minor league hockey broadcaster. So we're still doing two a week, Tuesday, Thursday, as close to noon as possible. So the original concept was have as many listeners as we can on, and that's still the plan. We still have listeners on if they want to,
right.
But eventually you're going to reach a cap of that, whether that's just I don't know if it was 100 listeners, 200 listeners, 50 listeners, I don't know, just of the people that want to do it. So I said about 25 episodes in, now I'm going to open up the podcast and have people who have ties to this area or have been through this area or have gone to school in this area, whatever it is. So now we've opened it up. We've done probably 15 episodes, 13, 14 episodes of people like that. And now we've got more listeners that want to come back on. So it's kind of reopened up the other way. So now it's just anybody who's a listener of the station who wants to do sports radio with us for 25, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever. And then anyone who has a tie to the area. So I've gotten a chance to tell a lot of good stories. George Como's come on and talked about his broadcasting career. Ted Ryan, 40 years at the Burlington Free Press. He's coming on one in a couple of weeks. I'm excited about that. Ryan Matlack, the guy who had the job before me here. They always say don't talk to your ex, but we're talking to my ex, the guy who had the job before me. So he's coming on.
Oh, that's cool. That's
he's coming
fun.
On one soon. So anyone who has a tie to the area or an affiliation with the station, those are the people we like talking to.
Can you get Griffey Jr. on?
Because he did come through
there's
here.
An affiliation
if,
here.
If he were willing to talk with me, I probably wouldn't get a 40-minute podcast out of it. I'd probably get like 10, and I'd have to put him on the huddle because that's the higher-rated thing right now.
I like that, man. I like that.
Shoot for the stars.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, trust me, I tried to get Griffey on when I first saw him at the Super Bowl a couple years ago, but I was at my old station then. Didn't work. Didn't happen.
Not surprised.
Do we have clean
so
up your act
soliciting at the
too?
Super Bowl.
Oh, you could do it. We'll skip clean up your act. Clean up your act,
yeah.
Me on the Able Paint read because I stumbled over my words.
You
boom,
did.
There's clean up your act.
We're going to have to make good on that one, no doubt about that.
I don't have any more questions for you guys. I learned enough about you on the radio.
That's
I,
it?
I kind of
you didn't
thought
even
I was,
know Arnie was on the Newlywed
yes,
game.
I didn't.
I actually thought with Arnie gone last week that I was filling in for him and Rich was going to be here. But this is my first chance to meet Arnie. He's from what I hear, he's a snuggly teddy bear. He's not really a big scary guy like he tries to make himself on the radio.
I proved that wrong now, didn't I? Huh?
Your wife accused me of telling everyone how mean you are. I was like, I always tell everyone that Arnie's nice. So
it's all a front.
I was going to ask. So, Arnie, this is always your question, but I'll ask it for you.
Yeah.
Was it harder than you thought, easier than you thought, about the same, surprised anything surprise you?
About the same. It would have been nice to get the show prior, more than 30 minutes prior from Brady.
Wow.
But
I told you, I didn't. I was at camp, whatever. I was all screwed up there.
Let me say something. You know, we come in here a lot, we just improv. So, you know, Brady writes out like an outline. But we're not like reading a script or anything. This is like he'll say, coming up next, we're going to talk about the Giants. Or coming up next, we're going to talk about the Red Sox. Or Tom Brady or his Gronk coming back. But we don't write down our opinions or anything like that. You got to fly by the seat of your pants.
I'm surprised by how the process goes. I figured there would have been more scripted events. But basically, if anybody listeners want to know, they basically just point to who's talking next. And that's how the baton passes.
Well, sometimes we don't have a point. I just talk over Brady.
Yes. Well, then you just talk over everybody.
Yeah. That does happen, but you know, you did a good job. Vince did a good job. For most part, everybody's done a good job this week. I think some of you got kind of intimidated by the microphones a little bit. You got a little quiet. Usually, when I'm driving the 101.3 car around the streets, or people recognize me at Church Street, they yell at me with a different voice than you guys use speaking on the microphone. It's a whole different atmosphere when people see me walking around than when you
they're
guys
are so
come
excited
studio.
To see you. It must
can,
be.
No, I don't think that's it, Brady. I don't think that's what it is.
Can you do an impression of Arnie better than you did on the podcast? You were like episode 15 of the podcast. Can you give me a better Arnie impression?
Now you're putting me back on the spot just like before. And then
What am I, Santa Claus?
I wish I could nail the lead in. That's what I was always shooting for. But Brady accused me of sounding like Good Morning Vietnam, so I won't try to reenact that.
I think I need a raise. Nobody can do my voice.
Nobody could
replace me.
Irreplaceable.
I mean,
Job security.
Unbelievable on that. And they didn't even know I was on the Newlywed Game. You better watch the Newlywed Game. On what is it on our website? So
well, it's on YouTube.
Go
Arnie Beth Newlywed Game. Do it on YouTube.
I didn't even know what it is.
It'll be the best 22 minutes you've ever spent.
You'll absolutely love it. Do you want to give out a email in case people do want to buy a house from you, where they can get a hold of you?
Yeah, shout out to Keller Williams and the Malley Group. I can be reached at 802-399-6855 or Andrew at the Malley Group. Chittenden.com. Love to help anybody and anybody around the Chittenden County greater area.
And you'll sell houses that look a lot nicer than Rich's old one.
If I can sell Rich's house, I can sell anything under the sun.
Yeah. You sold Rich's house and you got him another
place. He actually sold Vince's house.
I did. I saw Vince in the waiting room and I was his real estate agent as well. We sold his place up in the islands last year.
I need something on the water.
We got multiple waterfront listings.
I need on the water. I need my own private beach. I need people away from me.
So what's your budget?
I don't want to. My budget, I want a $1 million home for 40 cents on the dollar.
Just
now.
Like you want Mookie Betts for $150 million.
No, I want to get rid of him.
I don't want to get rid of everybody.
Hey, thank you, Andrew, for stopping on by. We appreciate it. It was a blast. Brady will tell you what's trending. Then we'll get to the Power Hour. We'll lead it off with Matt Duffy, former UVM baseball player. You're going to want to hear this. All that coming up next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Yes, Arnie, it's baseball season. You just have to deal with it. It's the huddle with Arnie, Rich, and Brady on 101.3 The Game.
Good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game on this busy Thursday. I know it's a little rainy outside, not the best weather, but a little humid, a little hot out there, but it is summertime. Good to feel the heat finally. By the way, thanks to Vince. Thanks to Andrew. Did a good job. I thought both of them did a pretty good job.
Tim and Sheldon just texted in and said Andrew had a great radio voice and he should do the ad reads for us.
Wow.
Are they saying they don't like you as Stacey Adamski and me as Abel Paint?
Tim said that Rich better hurry back. Wow, I'm surprised about that. I didn't hear the booming voice like usually we get out there. So, but I think they both did a good job. Are you ever going to guest in next week? Well, I'm on vacation because I'm going on vacation also. You should have more people and anybody coming in next week or what?
There was no plans to have anybody in next week. But are you telling me I should do it again?
No, I mean. What are you saying, that we couldn't handle the show with Rich out, but with me out, you and Rich could handle the show?
No, I was just banking on the fact there's more things to talk about next week because we're closer to training camp. We got Red Sox baseball. We got the Yankees, et cetera.
All right, I
got
to tell everybody the big news. Brady's got some big news. Brady, tell everybody, because a certain minor league baseball team has reached out to Brady because they want him to play.
Well, no, not really.
Well, yes, really.
No, not really.
Yeah, really, they do.
They want me to be in uniform.
Well, that's kind of like playing.
The Vermont Lake Monsters have asked me to be the bullpen catcher for a couple of games this weekend. Number one,
wow,
I got.
Wow, that's awesome.
Number one, I got to check my schedule.
What do you mean you got to check your schedule?
Number one, I got to check my schedule.
You drop whatever you're doing.
And number two, am I going to get free gear? Because Rich can't even get a hat, apparently. Am I going to get free gear?
I got a question for you. Are you technically on the team? You're going to be in uniform. Will you have a number on your back?
No, I doubt that. I don't even think I get a jersey. You probably get pants and like a batting practice
top.
So if
the game went 50 innings and you were like the last
person,
you cannot play.
Yeah.
Can they activate you?
No.
No, okay.
I'm a little bit nervous about the idea of catching 19-year-olds throwing 93, 94 that don't have the best control. I'm a little bit apprehensive about that. Can I catch? Yes, I could catch.
I mean, catcher, can you catch as a catcher, I guess?
Yes, I could.
And it's not a problem for you?
If the ball gets bounced at me, going to be irritated.
No, I meant like it doesn't hurt your hand or anything like that.
93 probably doesn't feel that great when you haven't played catcher in a little while, but yes, I could do it.
You'll put like a batting glove under the...
Yes, I would have a palm guard, they probably call
it. Oh, I like that because when I played catcher, it would hurt my hand. I didn't like that.
I have to check my schedule. I'm going to let them know, but... They want me to be the bullpen catcher.
Steve says, check your attitude or I will, talking about you. And Dottie wants to know, is it for the Lake Monsters?
He says, check your attitude, do it or I will.
Oh, I see. Check your... Yeah, you got to do this.
I don't have an attitude.
Yeah, I have a little bit of an attitude. You got
to
get.
I have
out
a baseball game
this.
To play in on Sunday
myself.
Oh, forget
myself. That. This is bigger than that.
I'm pitching on Sunday.
So what?
You want me to pitch, throw 120 pitches, and then go out and catch more?
Ask them if they can activate you just for... Is there like a... A limit on how many players they could have on? Is this like the major league?
Yeah, it's just 35.
So, 35. So do they have all 35 slots filled?
I don't know.
Well, they could squeeze in one more for you.
I don't have a contract or any money.
So they could sign you for one day. You get like a weekend contract.
So
will
I get paid?
Yeah, sure you'll get paid. They'll pay you in like hot dogs, like the free hot dogs.
Great. I got that at Rich's camp.
Mike says, I'll sit in next week for Arnie. Brady, you do kind of have an attitude. That's from Dottie out there. I totally think you should do it. I think this is going to be fun.
Can I wear a GoPro in the bullpen while I do it?
Oh, you should put it live on Periscope.
Now serious. You got me itching to want to do it.
Yeah, you should want to do it. If there's something's called me up and said, hey, can you come out and, you know, do the warm-up line with us and shoot around with us, you know, at halftime before the game and you know, the timeouts, I'd say, sure, I could do that.
And be a practice player?
Yeah, be a practice player. I would do that in a heartbeat. Why wouldn't you do this? I've been trying to get you on the Lake Monsters for a long time, have I not?
Steve says I'll get a $1 salary.
Yeah, what difference does it make how much they pay you?
I, like I said, I'm a little bit nervous. Can the starting pitcher just throw a complete game shutout and then I don't have to worry about anything?
You have to catch with the starting pitcher and anybody that wants to warm up.
Yes, anybody that wants to warm up. So watch them have an opener who throws the first inning and they bring in a new guy every inning.
You have no problem catching these guys, even though you're not a catcher, right?
I don't have a cup anymore. I'm a little bit nervous about
that. Serious question. Can you squat down like that and your knees don't hurt or anything like that?
I could do that without my knees hurting, but I would hope they have knee savers on the shin guards they give me, or I could sit on a bucket.
Well, I was going to say, can you just kneel down and
no, you can't do that. That would be scrubbish, but I could sit on a bucket.
Oh, sitting on a bucket isn't scrubbish, but kneeling down is?
Yes. That's
really?
Yes, there's a difference there.
Would you sit on a bucket? Yeah, you can't do that.
I mean, they wouldn't want me to.
No,
I probably could.
You can't do that. Suppose it bounces and hits the bucket or something.
Watch them get to the point where it's like the starting pitcher. I can just picture this. The starting pitcher throws two innings and then struggles a little bit in the third, and someone starts warming up. But then he gets out of it. And then he walks the leadoff guy in the fourth, and they start warming up again, and then he gets out of it. And we're just going to do this every single inning.
I think people will go to the game just to see you warm up the pitchers.
You can't really see me back there in the bullpen.
Yeah, you know what? They'll tune in. They'll watch on Periscope. They'll go to the game. They'll go, Brady's warming up the pitchers. We got to go to the game. I think it's unbelievable. What is that first-time texter say?
No, she goes, Brady, this is Amanda, your production director here at the station.
Oh.
She goes, I played catcher at Little League softball age 7. I'll do it.
Oh, wow. She's going to do it. You're not going to do it.
Amanda, you're pregnant. You probably shouldn't be catching 94-mile-an-hour fastballs.
That'd be awesome, though, if she did. I'd watch that.
I can just picture a 94-mile-an-hour fastball coming at me, throwing 56 feet, bouncing up, hitting me right in the arm, and end up with seams all over my arm on Sunday night. I can picture that.
Jackie Winooski says, I'll donate to a charity in Brady's name if he does it.
Oh, wow. I like that.
I tell you, people want you to do it. Steve says, I'll lend you my milk stool.
See, that's what I would need. I would need like a. What
no,
I need
you
is one of those.
You got to squat down and bend down with knees like that.
I don't know that they make knee savers anymore. But
I don't know what knee savers are.
Knee savers are so when they're on the back of the shin pads, and they go basically they're. So you got the shin guards,
right?
Okay,
right.
They wrap around so they're basically on your calves,
right.
So that it's a big pad that goes from basically your calves to your thigh.
Oh,
so
okay.
You're not squatting down as far.
Gotcha. I see that. Yeah, people sending in all kinds of stuff.
If Jack and Winooski will really donate to a charity in my honor, I know exactly who it would be.
I think who would it be?
It would be the Josh Pilata Fund.
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
I know exactly where it would go if that happened.
I think if they give you a number, then you have to do it. I mean, it's not going to be like a question mark on your back like the Joker or something
is
it?
I don't think they're going to give
it's
me
just
a
blank.
Jersey. I think it's just going to be like I get like a batting practice top. I just want to know, do I get any swag?
You know,
I mean, can I get a Vermont Maple Kings hat out of it?
My former producer told me he played for the University of Miami baseball team, and he was on the roster, but he was only a bullpen catcher. So, you know, if he could say he was on the team, you could say you're on the team.
I could.
You could work your way up. Suppose you got into the game, you started playing well. They said, we got to keep Brady on the team. Next thing you know, you're in AA, AAA, working your way up to the big leagues.
Jack says he will donate $100.
Wow.
He will donate $100 to a charity of my choice if I do this.
Wow. You got to do it now.
I mean, for charity, I might have to.
That's going to be fun. And they got to give you have to have a uniform. You can't be in the dugout or the...
In the bullpen.
In the bullpen without uniform.
Imagine, like, warming...
You'll get a shirt before Rich.
And warming up in the bullpen, Joe Smith, and I'm just waving back there at everyone when they're doing the announcements.
Now, do you have to wear glasses when you catch?
No.
All right, so you can take the glasses off.
Yeah, I only wear glasses for work, like actual seeing glasses, just for the computer.
Okay, so not when you pitch or anything like that.
No, and I would get some really cool. I want to know what kind of gear I'm going to get. Now I'm excited.
Oh, wait a minute.
Can I get a new glove out of this?
You don't get a catcher's. You don't have a catcher's glove.
I have a catcher's glove. It's not good enough to catch 94-mile-an-hour fastballs.
So they'd have to give you a glove.
They'd have to give me a glove,
and you know, obviously the chest protector, the mask, all that stuff. There,
would I get to take any of it? Is the question.
Oh, you mean with you afterwards? What happened to the bullpen catcher that they have now? Did he get called up or something like that?
The bullpen catcher's not on the roster.
No, I mean, what happened to the one that they had?
Well, I think the bullpen catcher is always just like a team employee. Must just be out for the weekend.
What are you, like vacationing somewhere?
Could be.
Could be at cult camp.
Yeah, could be. Maybe, maybe Rich is the bullpen catcher.
I love it. 802-655-6672. Should Brady be the bullpen catcher for the Lake Monsters this Saturday or this weekend?
Sunday.
This Sunday.
Well, they've asked me for Saturday and Sunday. I might, if I get, I got some things going on that I might be able to do one of the two.
You
got to
cancel
days.
It. You got to cancel that. What are you talking about? Get in on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. All right, let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, a special guest, former UVM baseball player, played parts of two seasons with the Houston Astros, about to be inducted into the UVM Athletics Hall of Fame. It's Matt Duffy. How you doing, Matt?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going great. First of all, congratulations. Are you going to be inducted into the UVM Athletics Hall of Fame? That's just fantastic.
Yeah, I was pretty excited to get the call. It's been a while since I've been back to Burlington, so it was great news, and I'm very honored.
You were part of UVM baseball program right as they cut the program back in 2009. What does it mean to you that you could be the last Catamount baseball player ever inducted?
Yeah, I hope I'm not, but it's very well possibility. It's great. I mean, I had two great years there. Met a lot of great people. Some of my best friends to this day were baseball players on the team. So it was a great 2 years. And like I said, I hope down the line they can possibly bring baseball back.
What was your experience like playing at UVM? What was it like playing in the America East?
It was great coming out of high school, St. Sebastian's. It was a nice, obviously, a step up in competition and very competitive league. It was not a ton of teams, so they got to know you pretty quick, and it was a blast. I played against a lot of good competition, and saw some of the guys from that league throw pro ball as well. So it was a lot of fun.
Matt, do you think there'd be a good support if baseball were to ever come back? You think there'd be support for it here in Burlington?
Yeah, I'd hope so. There's a lot of good players in that area. I haven't been back in a while, but it's just they have a great little field down there, Centennial Field. It was a cool little setup. Not many people think baseball when they think Vermont. They wonder how you play with the snow, but it was we got it done, and we had a lot of success. So I think there would be some support for it.
Matt, after you left UVM, after they cut the program, you went on, finished your career at the University of Tennessee, a powerhouse in the SEC. What was the comparison between the two programs?
It was obviously a little bit of a tick up in competition. More depth on every team. But the teams from the Northeast can go down there and compete with those teams in the SEC. As you get into the bullpens and the top end pitching, that's where the separation is. A lot of more velocity and better breaking balls, and I'd say the arms are a lot better down there. But it was a great challenge for me. Struggled out of the gate, and then made the adjustments necessary.
Now, what about the crowds? The crowds must be absolutely fantastic. Now they really get into college baseball down there.
Yeah, they do. It's a whole different world. Opening game in SEC play for me was we played at South Carolina. There had to be 12,000 fans at the game for college baseball, so it was quite a shocker.
Matt Duffy joining us here on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game, 1013thegame.com. Part of 2 years in the major leagues with the Houston Astros, going to be inducted this year into the UVM Athletics Hall of Fame, a former Catamount baseball player here with us. When we talk about the idea of UVM maybe bringing baseball back, giving it a second go, you've seen it at Tennessee, so you've seen the resources that a program that does it right has. What would you say UVM needed to do a second time around to put it at that level?
I mean, obviously they pour a lot of money into their athletics down at Tennessee, and I think you would just need the right people to pushing the envelope to get it back. I mean, I know they have tried in the past, and again I've been a little bit disconnected, but you get the right people to get it out there. I think that a lot of people would jump on board.
What was the day like when you found out that they were cutting the program?
Yeah,
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. We actually got a text message to my phone from someone in the athletic department saying there's a mandatory meeting this afternoon. I actually think we might have been able to skip class. It was pretty big deal. So we all went down. We met in the hockey rink, and they broke the news to us. It was probably, I want to say, 3-4 weeks before the first pitch of the season. So yeah, a lot of mixed emotions. People start wondering, you know, what their next step is going to be. Never mind, the season was going to start right around the corner. So I was actually injured at that time, so I had a tough decision whether or not to even play that season or redshirt. And then where I landed on my feet the following year, I would have actually been a sophomore. There was a lot. I mean, a lot of guys were trying to figure out their next steps while trying to also focus on the season at hand. So it was a really interesting time.
And how difficult was that? That's exactly what I was going to ask you. You know, you end up eventually going to Tennessee, but how hard is it trying to compartmentalize playing and developing for yourself and trying to win as a Catamount, but also trying to figure out those next steps? How much did it weigh on you guys?
Yeah, it was tough. Fortunately for me, I had I was able to create some interest from other schools, but there were these the guys that were on the fence where UVM was their top pick and probably the school that they had their heart set on. It was tough for those guys because the phones weren't ringing, especially for the juniors. Not many other programs want to grab a kid for just a senior year. So it was tough. And we wanted to go out on top and have a good run, knowing it was the last go. The fans were really good that year. They supported us, so we wanted to give back and give them something to smile about at the end.
Matt, was there rumors that this was going to happen to the program, or did it catch you completely by surprise?
There were rumors. We had heard that there were going to be cutbacks, and we were told that it wasn't going to be us. Then again, you know, we're young. I'm young at that point. Again, I wasn't too worried about it. I didn't really think too much into it. And at that stage in my life, I didn't think that was even a possibility. How can they just cut a program?
Right.
It may have been a blessing in disguise for me personally at the end, but it shook a lot of people, and it left a lot of kids with some tough decisions to make that wanted to continue their baseball career, but they were ingrained in the schoolwork, and they, you know, like I said, were juniors or seniors at that point. So, it was interesting.
Matt, you end up getting to the major leagues with the Astros, but along your minor league journey, you played in the New York Penn League, so you got to play some games at Centennial Field against the Lake Monsters. What was it like when you came back here to play at Centennial again? Did it bring back good memories, painful memories? What was it like?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool to be able to come back, and a lot of the guys were razzing me for, you know, the field conditions. It's a great field, but the surface is not the same as these SEC and ACC schools that a lot of these kids come from. So they were wondering how the heck I could feel the ground ball with the lip right around. But we had some good laughs about that. But it's a great field. It's a great city. I love Burlington. I try to get back there for vacation, go down Lake Champlain, and I just love the area. So the guys after the game would go down to Church Street to get a bite to eat. They absolutely loved it. It's a hidden gem.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Tell us about the call up to the Houston Astros. I assuming you were in Tucson at the time?
I was, when I got the call up to the big leagues, I was I think we were in New Mexico. I want to say we were in Albuquerque. And I got a knock on the door, 7 a.m., and I opened it, and it was my three coaches hitting
coach. That's never good.
I had no idea what was going on. And they told me that I got called up, and I was flying to Texas, and the Astros were in Oakland, and I was going to meet them there. So that's how it went down.
Wow.
Matt Duffy joining us on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game, 101.3thegame.com, former Catamount baseball player and soon to be an inductee into the Catamount Athletics Hall of Fame. Parts of two seasons in the majors with the Astros. What's your best major league memory? Is it someone you met? Is it your first hit? What's your best memory?
I think it was the first hit. You meet a lot of the guys in spring training, so when you get called up, when you spend time in big league camp for the year or two prior to getting the call up, a lot of the guys, you know, the familiar faces that pass through the ranks, AA, AAA.
So that's not the hard part. It's adjusting to the, you know, everything that's going on around you. But I would say the first hit was great. Got to get the ball, hit a double off the wall, and, you know, gave it to my dad. He was at the game, so I still have that ball somewhere.
Can't you say it was a home run?
I needed about five more feet. One more, the announcer told me I needed one more. Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember who it was off of?
Yeah, it was off Drew Pomeranz.
Wow, former Red Sox fame, who everyone was ready to run out of town.
Yes. And I had faced him in college, too. I got rushed up to the plate. I was in the batting cages getting ready. It was probably the sixth or seventh inning, and the guys would start, you know, to get loose in case there was a pinch hit. I ran down, didn't even have time. I think I had one swing on deck, and I saw that it was him, and I had faced him at Tennessee when he was at Ole Miss, so I had kind of go back into the memory book a little bit.
Matt, when you come back up for the induction, it's this fall, it's in September, right after school starts. You mentioned all your old teammates used to love coming down to Church Street, so if you have to go one place in Burlington for a place to eat when you come back from the induction, where's it going to be?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I used to love getting lunch at the Red Onion. There's a little sandwich shop on Church Street. I also, I think it was Leroy's, had a good burger.
Yeah.
I'll probably end up there. Ken's Pizza, is that still around?
That's still there. Yeah. That's my favorite place.
Yeah. I love that spot. So I'll be with my dad, probably a few buddies, and hopefully we keep it to a dull roar.
Matt, everybody wants to know, where are you living? What are you doing now?
I am. I just started my own baseball academy called the Matt Duffy Baseball Academy. We have teams 9 through 15 years old, and we just got that going a couple months ago, and that started to take off, so it's been going great.
Awesome. Fantastic. Well, hey, Matt, thanks a lot. Congratulations, and we'll certainly do it again. We'd love to speak to you when you come up.
Awesome. Thanks.
All right, there you go, Matt Duffy. Good to catch up with him. That was a lot of fun. Going to be inducted in the UVM Hall of Fame.
That's a strong Boston accent.
Yeah, well, not that bad.
I didn't think it was bad. I just think he sounds like he's from Boston.
I didn't pick up on that.
He's like,
I think my accent's probably worse than his.
When he's like, oh, can pizza still there? That's a great spot. I mean, I thought that was good. But that was fun, man. And, you know, he talks about the difference between a UVM and a Tennessee, the resources put into it, the money put into it. He believes that UVM baseball could work here, but I'm still skeptical. Now, I want it to. Trust me. I would love for it to happen. But I just don't see how it becomes financially feasible.
I'm not going
to
get into this now because I don't understand what I sent you. But I sent you an article about you. They were talking about...
I know. I want to read this before I understand it, too.
I read it, and I still didn't understand it. They were talking about...
UVM basketball.
No. Actually, it wasn't even about UVM basketball. It was just about Division I sports, football and basketball. And they talked about the top schools that benefit and make the most money compared to travel. And UVM was like number 7 or 8. And I'm like, does this mean they shouldn't go to a bigger conference or they should stay where they are? But it's a whole, I mean, the numbers on this thing, I mean, I had to stop. It was making my head spin. It was unbelievable. Ty in Canada said, Brady, remember the time you ridiculed Rich for not singing on the air for $100? Not taking Jack's offer to raise money for charity is worth 3 times the grief you gave Rich. Jack just said, look, he will donate money to the Josh P. Foundation if you play catcher. We have his number. Let's make it happen. Let's see if we get more people doing this.
Will anybody else donate to charity in order for me
to
be a bullpen catcher?
I think my wife said, oh, my God, why is this a discussion, really? You should be doing this. How can you not be doing this?
I don't even feel right asking people to donate to charity on my behalf. If Jack wants to, that's great, but I don't feel right asking people to do that.
802-655-6672. If you want to go ahead and jump on in, Brady's been asked to be the bullpen catcher for the Lake Monsters. This weekend, this Saturday and Sunday, we don't know if you get a jersey with a number on it. You could get a jersey with a number on it for all you know. They got to give you something that says Lake Monsters. You just can't. What are you going to show up with a Seattle Mariner jersey on you? You can't do that. They're Oakland A's. So
Andrew in Richmond says, do it. Count me in for 50.
Wow. Look at Andrew throwing in money out
so
there.
So people are willing to give money to charity. Lester in Huntington's going to give $50 if I do this.
Wow. Yeah, they got to give you a jersey, too, or a hat, jersey.
I would have to get something, right? I have to get something.
Because I can't, well, what are you going to show up in a Montreal Expos jersey on or something?
I told you, I think they're going to give me like a batting practice top.
I was going to say, sometimes they give you those...
Or a t-shirt.
What do they call those? They're like, when it's raining out, it's like a windbreaker type
that's
thing.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Is that what it, and it's just like a solid color?
A short sleeve version of that. That's what I'm anticipating.
You got to get an actual jersey with a number on it. Just because you can't get into the game doesn't mean you shouldn't have a jersey with a number on it so you can do that. I mean, come on.
I'll show up in a sweatband, arm sleeve, all of the above.
Well, I think I'm getting donations on here for crying out loud.
On your personal message?
My personal phone. They're like, make sure he does it. Make sure he does it. It would be a lot of fun for you, Brady. I really think so. I think you'd have a blast.
Well, I'm.
Doug wants to do it. He says, I'll go catch for Brady if you feel conflicted. Doug, I don't know how many people could actually catch. First of all, how tough is it to catch a 93 or 94 mile an hour fastball?
93, I think, is hard. A 93 with movement would be extremely hard.
Well, yeah, suppose that somebody would like curveballs and they're warming up like that.
They're going to throw that stuff. They are major league prospects.
So can you catch a curveball? Can you do that?
Yes.
What would happen if I tried to catch a 93 mile an hour fastball?
I don't think you'd see it.
I'd get hurt.
Yeah. I might get hurt. That is a possibility.
Like you could, like if you were in a batting cage and instead of taking swings, you just try to catch the ball.
I'm nervous.
Oh yeah! Wow! How can you be nervous? You're not playing. You're just catching.
I'm trying to stay safe and get major league prospects ready to go in and do well.
Alex says, just worry about wearing a cup and a jock strap more than sweatbands.
Yes, that's true.
That would be
a good idea.
Good advice.
Andrew in Richmond goes, you're getting charitable donations. Don't be greedy looking for swag. I'm saying things to wear while I'm on the field.
Yeah. It's not that you're looking for swag, and then maybe they'll retire your catcher's number up in the rafters after you're done. Oh, by the way, what happens if you're warming somebody up? Does Rich go, there's Jones in the bullpen warming up by the bullpen catcher, Brady Farkas, who's new to the team?
I doubt that. My worst fear, I have two worst fears. One is hurting myself. Two is I don't do a good job catching in the bullpen, and then the pitcher goes out and gives up a bunch of homers, and he gets cut or something the next day because of me. That's my worst fear.
Ty says, Brady, you could ask for a jersey, then you could sign it, auction it off, and the proceeds go to charity.
That's a good idea.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. I would buy that in a silent auction for sure. Remember how much I bought in the silent auction last time?
Oh, my God, you did buy a lot in the silent auction.
I bought like three, four things. I still got them in the floor in my basement.
Does anybody want a signed jersey from me?
I mean, seriously,
is anybody – I mean, what am I worth, $20? I don't know.
I don't know. I think I would buy that.
Less than that?
It'd be cool, the Lake Monster jersey on there. I mean, how good – and it would say Farkas on the back.
Oh, that would be fun. We'll take it to him. You know what we'll do?
Great.
I'll get the jersey. We'll take it to Embroidery Works at Joanne's Uniforms.
Yes.
Have them put my number or my name on it, and then we'll raffle it.
Tim and Virgin's Brady might get hurt. I'm in. So there you go.
Wow.
If there's a chance, there might be some, you know, something happened to you.
I mean, look, 93, a two-seamer with movement. I'm just picturing my thumb just going just like this.
Oh, how great would that be? Tuck the jersey into your skirt. That's what Steve said. Wow.
All right, let's go.
I love that. What's coming up next?
We're going to switch gears from a lot of fun to I have an impassioned plea.
Ooh. That's it, an impassioned plea?
That's it.
All right, we'll have to wait to see what that's all about. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3, the game on this Thursday. Brady's starting to back out a little bit.
I am not backing out.
You said the GM said the ball is not 93, 94 miles an hour. It's more like 97, 98 miles an hour.
Yeah, I said some of these guys are going to throw a lot harder.
What's an extra 3-4 miles an hour? Come on now.
Look, I'm fine. I'm with all the people giving to charity and stuff, I am leaning towards being in. And hey, my first time in a professional game.
Yeah! Wow! Look at that!
Hey, I remember I was the bullpen catcher at the Cooperstown Hall of Fame Classic.
That is true.
They were only throwing about 75 then.
Yeah, that's
but
a lot easier.
I was the Cooperstown Hall of Fame Classic bullpen catcher. I caught Steve Avery of the mid-90s Braves. I caught Carl, I remember him. I caught Carl Pavano.
Wow!
I caught J.J. Putz.
Yeah, but this is bigger than that.
This is much bigger than that.
Yeah, this is bigger than that because this is a professional league.
I caught.
I still think they should get you into the game somehow.
They can't get me into the game.
Oh, you don't know that.
You always say
they can't. Look, I've been telling you that you somehow have to get involved with the Lake Monsters, and now you can be the bullpen catcher. You go, oh, they can't get me involved. Now they got you involved.
If upper management of the Lake Monsters is listening, here's what I want to know. Can I wear a GoPro on my helmet or something? Can I film this, my interactions with the players, me trying to speak Spanish to some of the guys if they speak Spanish, me practicing my Spanish. Can we get that on film? That's what I want to know.
I'd be a pinch runner if they would let me pinch run. Get me out there. I'd steal second base. I'd probably get thrown out, but I would try.
Ty in Canada. Yeah. Last thing is this, Brady. Think of the bragging rights if the Lake Monsters give you a jersey. You could mock Rich for the rest of his life. You got Lake Monsters gear given to you after one weekend.
Absolutely. Well, you got to do that.
I just want to know if upper management of the Lake Monsters is listening.
Yeah.
Can I have a GoPro and chronicle my nine innings down
I'm
there?
I'm giving you permission. I'm saying yes. All right. Let me hear your plea. What's going on here?
Yeah, I want to take 2 minutes here, Arnie, where I think I just talk uninterrupted.
Okay.
If that's okay.
That's okay.
Okay. But I want you to listen.
I'm listening.
So earlier today, I tweeted out something. I said, essentially, I missed when sports was unifying and when it wasn't all politically divisive. That's what I said earlier today on Twitter. And the more I thought about it, and somebody called me out on it and goes, hey, has sports ever not been divisive?
Right.
And I started to think, you know what? That's probably right. Sports, I was watching the ESPYs yesterday, and every single thing that happened seemed to be a political statement, a gender statement, a racial statement. It all felt that way, from the Arthur Ashe Award with Bill Russell to the gymnast who won best play, who was giving a speech about women's empowerment, to the U.S. women's soccer team. And everything just felt all of a sudden so divisive, where everyone's on a side. And that bothered me. And it started to hit me. Sports has always been intertwined with politics. It doesn't matter whether it's ancient Greece and the Olympics and the city-states and all that. It doesn't matter if it's the USA boycotting the Moscow Olympics, Muhammad Ali being a draft dodger, the Miracle on Ice, the black power symbol at the 68 Olympics, Jesse Owens dominating in the face of Adolf Hitler. Sports has always been a political statement in some ways. It's always been intertwined with politics. It's always been political propped up for political propaganda in some ways. So I think, and I hope, that I probably speak for a lot of people, that maybe what we're really wishing for is not for sports to just be sports again, because I don't think sports has ever been sports. We always say, it's just a game. They get paid millions to play a game. Well, is sports really just a game, Arnie? It doesn't feel like that. It feels like it's always been more than a game. And maybe what I'm rooting for is not for sports to go back to being just sports, because it's never been just sports, apparently. I think what I'm rooting for is I just wish I had my sports innocence back. I just wish that I could watch a sporting event now like I did when I was 10, where to me it was just a game, and it didn't immediately turn to what does it mean, who does it impact, how does it impact them, what does it mean for this group or that group, and how does it slight this group or that group, and what about this White House visit, and what about that, this, and this, that. I just missed my sporting innocence. At about 11 years old, I realized that sports wasn't about a game, it was about money. And then a little bit around that time, too, I realized that sports is intertwined with all these other social, racial, gender issues. And I understand how important all of those things have become. We don't get where we are in a society if sports didn't help push the needle. I'm appreciative of all of that. I just miss the sports innocence that I had when I was younger, of being able to watch something without wondering what impact it had on something
else. Well, you just didn't know better, because we didn't have social media. You weren't involved. You didn't know about everybody's private stuff, private life, what goes on here. But we've always had this. You went through all of them, the Muhammad Ali, the Jesse Owens. I mean, can you imagine, competing in front of Hitler? There was no romance there. There's no sports innocence in that one. You're talking about people that broke the color barrier, Jackie Robinson, Branch Rickey. Imagine what they were called. So there was no sports innocence even way before you were born,
no,
Brady.
Even before I was born.
It's always been quite – and you mentioned Tommy Smith and John Carlos. By the way, I had John Carlos on my show.
Did you really?
Yes.
I can imagine how
it was remarkable. He's a PE teacher in Palm Springs. But, it's always been there.
It's never been just
maybe,
a game.
The innocence maybe you're talking about is taking your baseball cards and putting them into the wheels of your bicycle and going around back then. But, again, that's a whole nother time, and we'll never get that time back. There's no such thing as sports innocence. We just didn't know better at the time because we didn't have social media.
Well, that's fine. Whether it's innocence or naivete, I just miss that. Okay, I don't have any problem. look, we can disagree with their methodology. It doesn't bother me
right.
that Colin Kaepernick has a message. It doesn't bother me that Megan Rapinoe has a message. It doesn't bother me that the Black Power symbol in the 68. None of that bothers me. It just bothers me that, because, again, society doesn't advance without sports. I understand that. Society's not where it is if Jackie Robinson doesn't break the color barrier. I'm not resentful of any of that right, or any of those movements. I'm just resentful that now you can't watch the game as if it's just a game, because it's not. And it's never been just a game. You just weren't old enough to realize it, like you said.
Yeah.
And I just miss a time where – look, when I remember watching the 99 Women's World Cup, and I remember watching when Brandi Chastain scores and she removes right. the shirt. I remember just watching that and thinking, wow, here's America, a country that hasn't really been good at soccer before, that's finally gotten good at soccer. And I thought that was really, really
cool.
Yeah,
but they were complaining about women's rights at that time also.
No, I know that. And I'm saying, but I didn't know that at the time.
Right.
Okay. I just look at it as, wow, we won a championship, and that was a lot of fun to watch. And now 20 years later, I can't watch the Women's World Cup and watch them win the championship in the same way, because there's all these different parameters and all these different obstacles and all these different viewpoints that now you have to consider, and you're being forced to take a side. It's like you're either with Megan Rapinoe on her stance or you're with the president, and it just feels like we just won a championship in our country and you're instantly forced to take a side as to whose side you agree with. And that just bothers me because, again, it's always been that way. I just didn't know it.
Well, since you bring up Megan Rapinoe, it's not whether you agree with her on, you know, how much women should get paid. Everybody thinks there should be equal pay. Though, if you listen to Clay this morning, he thinks that the women get paid more than the men. And the way he did his math, it made sense to me. But I think Megan Rapinoe's wrong in dropping the F-bomb about the president. I think she was wrong in dropping the F-bomb on national TV.
That was yesterday at the parade, right?
Yeah. Not a big deal, but... You know, if you want to make your point across, dropping F-bombs on TV is a way not to get their point across. But, I mean, as for that, though, like I said, there's no innocence. It was just that you're young and more naive and not know the situation. And now with social media, we know that everything is going on. You know what I mean?
What was the moment, and maybe you didn't even know it at the time, but what's the first time you remember now sports being intertwined with politics? Like, where did that innocence go away for you? What was the first thing where you're like, okay, this isn't just a game; it's something more.
Well, I knew as a kid, though.
It could have happened. Look, it might happen when you were six. It might happen when you were 16. There's no definite time.
But I mean, you know, as I got older, I mean, the Olympic boycott was a big thing.
1980.
That was a big, big time. I mean, the athletes were upset. They worked all their lives for. I was only 17 years old. That was a big, big story. We knew that it was coming, and then the Soviets, I think, boycotted the Olympics after that, I believe. But
well, the Miracle on Ice was 1980, that they played each other in 1980 in the Winter Olympics.
It was the Summer Olympics,
where there was a boycott, right, in Moscow.
And Jay says Muhammad Ali, who he says he never threw his medal into the river. I'm going to go ahead and say that I think he did. I think he just tried to cover it up. But that was a big story. Remember, he... and lost his license to box.
Yeah.
They had yanked that away from him. They took that away from him. So it's always we're intertwined. My wife says when Carter canceled the Olympics, we brought that up also. There's always been, politics and controversy when I was growing up. And there is now because of social media, but we were hit hard, especially with the boycott.
For me, it was 2001. So I was 12 years old,
right?
Maybe 11, about to be 12. But it was after 9/11 when George Bush comes out and throws out the first pitch at the 2001 World Series.
That's what Paul Milton just said. Yeah,
that was for me where I realized that okay, sports was something different, where sports meant more. And the act of George Bush going out and throwing out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium in New York, where the towers were hit, or where some of the where the Twin Towers were hit. Then I realized that George Bush going out and throwing out that first pitch, that was a symbol. Okay,
right.
Sports wasn't a sport anymore at that point for me. That was a symbol, and it was a symbol of pride and of American power. And that, for me, is where the lines got blurred to where, okay, sports isn't just a game anymore.
I think a big part, and I think the biggest mistake we ever made, was when John Kennedy was assassinated, and the NFL had to decide whether they were going to play games on that Sunday or not. The NFL decided that they were going to play games on that Sunday, and to this day, that has become the biggest perhaps regret in not only the NFL, Brady, but maybe in all of sports. I forget which commissioner said this, but they said that was the darkest day when we decided to play football. I believe they played football, if I remember correctly, after Kennedy's death. That was probably their biggest mistake.
Richard Middlebury says the 72 Munich Olympics. Isn't that?
Oh, with the Israelis when they were
assassinated, right?
Yes,
the Israeli athletes.
Israeli athletes were assassinated. No doubt about that. Totally forgot about that.
Anthony in Essex on the call.
Anthony, good afternoon. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. What's going on, Anthony?
Hey, thanks, guys. I was just thinking, you know, how much a great athlete has to focus and be in the moment just any time when they're playing. But then I was thinking about Ali and Jackie Robinson and some of the other people that when there was race involved and death threats, and just can't even imagine how great their focus and their will was.
Right.
And I just wanted to share that when you talk about, you know, the game transcending things. That kind of amazes me, what people like that did on the field or the court.
Yeah.
And thanks for the segment.
No,
thanks, Arnie.
I appreciate it. Appreciate the call. Could you imagine you're competing in front of Hitler?
No.
And he thinks you're subhuman because of your skin color or race. How crazy is that?
When you look back, you realize that sports has always been this way. It's just when you didn't know it, there was an innocence there that was lost when you finally found out that it was different. And I think part of the reason why, and Arnie, I don't know if you feel the same way, part of it's just because it's the Olympics and because you gravitate towards rooting for your country. But part of the reason why I think I like a lot of the Olympic sports come Olympic time is because I don't know a lot of the backstories of what's going on in certain in certain scenarios.
Right.
So I don't know all of the backstories behind things. So I don't instantly have that reaction. Like when I watch figure skating or gymnastics, it feels more innocent to me because I'm not as hopped up on all this other stuff. As Clay Travis would say, I'm not as woke about all these other things. Like when in basketball, baseball, football, hockey, when there's symbolism going on, I know it. I instantly think about the White House visit. When it's skiing, when it's snowboarding, when it's rhythmic dance, I don't have any idea what's going on in the background, so it feels more innocent to me.
Steve says it was Pete Rozelle. That was who it was that had to make the decision whether they're going to play after the death of John Kennedy.
Let me see.
What was not a good move.
I'm just saying we were supposed to break 8 minutes ago, so I'm just trying to figure out what to do now. We don't really have time for the 4-minute football fix, but we need to take a break.
All right, we'll figure out something next. That's coming up next during the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
These guys have been together so long they can finish each other's sentences. How cute. It's The Huddle with Arnie, Rich, and Brady on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle, 101.3 The Game. Thursday just moving along. By the way, we had Vince in hour number one. Yep. He was a lot of fun. We had Andrew in hour number two, also a lot of fun. Both of them did a pretty good job, so we shouldn't be taking too much vacation with these guys around. You know what I mean?
They were good. They've been good.
We shouldn't be taking too much vacation. They could replace us.
By the way, I have texted the Lake Monsters.
Yeah.
I'm in for Sunday.
But you're not doing Saturday? What do you got going on Saturday?
I have to pitch Sunday morning. I'm not catching and throwing the ball back 120 times and then pitching Sunday
morning.
You
could do that.
No.
Come on.
No, I'm pitching.
Oh, jeez.
I'm in for Sunday.
All right, let's do the four-minute football fix.
The four-minute football fix in 45 seconds.
45 seconds. I'll give you the – I actually have the four-minute football fix. I saw this story about Mike Vrabel, the Titans head coach.
Okay.
And somebody asked
former him, Patriot.
Former Patriot, of course. And someone said, you know, what would you do to win a Super Bowl? And he was thinking about it, and how could I put this?
Okay, what would he do? Would he cut his pinky off for it?
He would cut off his manhood.
Real? Whoa.
Yes. He said he would cut off his manhood. He goes, look, I've been married 20 years. So I probably would do it because I don't need that anymore. So, you know, obviously he's joking around. At least I think he's joking around.
He's already won a couple as a player.
Yes.
I mean, come on, how greedy can you be?
But, I'm hoping he's joking around. But that's what he said. And it's made its rounds all over Twitter. You'd be surprised. No, you wouldn't be surprised. It's all over the place. People are commenting on it.
Man.
People say, I would love to them to win it just for him to do that. And it's all over the place. But obviously, he's just having a little fun keeping it loose out there in Tennessee. They have a pretty good team this year, by the way.
I'm still not a believer in Mariota.
They have Tannehill backing him up. But
not a believer in him either.
Yeah, Mariota's been, you know, when he's been healthy, he's been good. And he also did take him to the playoffs. So
yes, and they beat Kansas City a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he's good. He's serviceable. No, actually better than serviceable.
I'm not a fan of Mariota. Remember when they played the Patriots? How bad they got annihilated?
Yeah. That was great. Best day of my life. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, of course. Because
you're looking at me
I'm
like
you got the. I'm like you got the wrong shtick going here.
No, I know. 802-655-6672. So that was the quickest 4 minute football fix I think we ever had.
I know. Well, we got very serious for a little while.
I was going to do the Vrabel for last story standing, but he said he was going to cut off his manhood. But I got something else for you. So I got a couple other stories. Last story standing. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful. It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, Brady, you remember they have those internet debates where what color is the dress? Is
yes.
it blue or gold or whatever it is? Or is he saying Yanni or something
whatever,
else?
Yeah.
This is one of the craziest stories I think I've ever read for Last Story Standing. In Philadelphia, 30 parks and recreation centers are now outfitted with a small speaker called the Mosquito.
Okay.
It blares a constant high-pitched ringing noise all night long through the night, but only teenagers and young adults can hear it.
Okay, because everyone's as you get older, your ears don't hear as well.
Well, it says anybody over the age of 25 is supposed to be immune to this, basically because their ear cells have started to die off.
Okay.
So you're like, so only young adults and teenagers can hear this high-pitched sound. Matter of fact, you should pull the sound.
And
we should play it on the air tomorrow and say, can you hear it or can you not hear it? They actually have it. They say, can you hear it? And you're supposed to be listening to it. Now you're wondering, well, why are they doing this? They're doing it to prevent loitering and vandalism by teenagers and young adults at public facilities.
Hmm.
So they don't want them hanging out and that this noise.
How bad is it for pets?
They said the pets can't hear it either.
Oh, good. So then it's fine, then. If it's not going to irritate pets, I feel bad for babies. But other than that,
I find it hard to believe that a 18-year-old kid's going to be hearing something and I can't hear the same thing.
Well, not, I've seen that before. There used to be this show, I forget, whatever. It was some kind of brain games. That was it. And as you get older, yeah, you can't pick up certain things.
Now, like a dog whistle or something like that?
What's the difference, though? I mean, can a 24-year-old hear it but not a 25-year-old?
I don't know.
Where's the gray area?
I don't know. I have no idea. I've never heard of such a thing that you could have a high-pitched noise to go ahead and do that. Now, despite the intended 13 to 25-year-old target range, 27-year-old Kate Ryux said she can hear the mosquito installed a few blocks from her home. She can still hear it. She's 27.
Uh-oh.
So obviously her eardrums have not died yet.
Her hearing's good.
Brady, we got to pull this tomorrow and ask our audience who can hear it and who can't hear it. That way we know who's younger than 25 and who's not younger than 25. We should pull it.
That's fine.
I got to hear it now. Or if I can't
hear it.
Or try to hear it.
You got to hit play and see if you can hear it.
Yeah. By the way, PetSmart, one other story, giving free ice cream sundaes for your dogs.
When?
That is going to be I think it's this weekend, but let me just double check here. July 20th and 21st.
Okay, so next weekend.
Next weekend. PetSmart stores. With PetSmart facilities on July 21st and 22nd, free dog-safe ice cream. All right,
wow.
So go ahead and check it
Fun.
Out. Thanks to Vince and Andrew. They did a great job.
Vince and Andrew were great, and our three interns.
Oh, geez. Who were the interns today?
We had intern Jackson.
Intern Jackson.
Intern Lorette.
Intern Lorette.
And then we had part-time Nick.
Part-time Nick.
So they were all here today.
Wow. Didn't get to see any. Oh, I saw part-time
You saw
Nick.
Nick.
I saw Nick. So great job by everybody. One more day tomorrow. So we'll see you tomorrow right here on 101.3 The Game.
The home of Patriots, Red Sox, and Bruins.